The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
If 1 hour into the podcast, Brian becomes a bundle of energy and super duper talkative, it may or may not be because he got a hold of some Provigil.
Provigil.
May or may not be.
I need
What's
that?
It's some stuff that keeps you awake.
I was just told to take it.
I don't need that.
The way you looked at me like, oh boy, I don't need that. Like, that's one of the worst things you could ever do to me, Joe.
Yeah.
That's the thing about comedians, man. We love to get our sleep on.
Oh. Well, I mean, speed would kill me.
Yeah.
I like downs. I like tranquilizers. If I was going to do any drug, I would do heroin. Mm-hmm. But from what they say, it feels like.
Robert Schimmel told me he accidentally took Adderall once. He thought it was one of his pills, like after he had his heart condition.
Yeah.
When he had cancer.
Yeah, cancer, yeah.
It's cancer. And he had a heart condition as well, right? He was having heart problems.
I don't know.
Whatever he was on, whatever medication
right.
he was on, he accidentally
Can't
took someone else's Adderall. Well, he was worried, but his doctor said he would be okay. You know, like he said, like, what's the pill that you took? How many milligrams?
Right, right.
You're going to be fine. It's just going to take a while. Just go get things done. So he went running around his house. He said he organized his office. He said he organized all of his notes and put them in, like, alphabetical order. He was, like, doing shit that he would never do without it. It makes you think, like, man, if you could manage that correctly, if you were confident that you could manage that Adderall stuff, seems like you get a lot of shit done on that.
Coffee gets me high.
Oh, it definitely does. Yeah, I mean, that's why, look, especially Starbucks. I mean, that's why this stuff is everywhere. Everybody's addicted to this stuff.
How fucked up was that last night? I had two drinks, and I couldn't interview you.
You could interview me. We were fun. It was fun.
I had fun, but I had to think. You know, usually, I mean, with you, it's like just flows. But I'm telling you, the two drinks affected me. Ever since I said I stopped drinking, and I started.
I thought you stopped drinking.
I did. I stopped drinking, and then I have a couple drinks every night almost to celebrate my sobriety. And that's what happens. Like, I get higher because
right.
I don't drink as much, and I had those two Irish coffees. I was fucking.
You? Bummed. How many days a week are you back to drinking?
Seven.
away.
No, I actually didn't I didn't drink on Monday, and I told my goddaughter who lives with me, I go, you know, I quit drinking again. She said, it's only Tuesday. You drank Sunday. I was like hungover the whole day. So, yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah, I usually stop drinking on hangovers.
You did really well for several months.
3 months,
right?
Yeah.
And then what happened?
I don't know. It's just
Can you chuck me those keys, Dom? Sorry. Those keys are on that table. I'm going to forget them. You just missed it?
I missed it. You know, I missed the fun. And, you know, one of the girls at the Laugh Factory, a friend of mine, she said to me, she called me, like, basically a pussy, right? A friend of mine, Julianne, right? She says, what are you? Are you going to have a couple drinks with me tonight, or are you going to show me a chip for how long it's been since you quit drinking? You know what I mean? Like, you
wow, what a friend.
Yeah, right.
I have another friend who I play ping pong with. And he goes, he'll put a martini under my nose. Doesn't that look good? Like, I'm just the opposite of supporter friends. I have
That's
friends
hilarious.
That try and get me to drink. It's
Why
like a reverse intervention.
Why do they do that?
I don't know. Just for fun. I mean, if it didn't bloat me, and do you get hangovers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They last all day now for me. Like, they
Isn't
used
that
to be, yeah, like the whole day. Like, I'll have a hangover at like 10 o'clock at night and go, all right, I guess I'm ready to drink just to get rid of this.
You gotta really overhydrate. That's the key. When you
that
feel
coconut
that,
water's good.
It's very good for that. When you feel that headache, that's mostly dehydration. I
don't get a headache. I get nervous.
You get nervous?
I get like anxiety.
Heart palpitations.
No, just like, I don't know, you know.
Well, you realize you're killing your body slowly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the feeling. Like, you realize you're impending doom.
That's a danger being a comedian, too, because you can fucking live the life of a degenerate and then be fine by 10 o'clock at night.
And let's be honest about, I mean, how much sobriety is required in our jobs.
Yeah.
You know, you can go on half fucked up and have a great set.
I can go on drunk and not even remember the set and just go on rote. I mean, I hate to do that, but
right.
if I have, I've done so much stand-up that, I mean, you know, I literally could,
I don't
could
ever,
do it from a hammock.
I remember watching people when I was younger phone it in, and we've all seen guys phone it in, where they're not really engaging in what they're saying, they're not really thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't like to do that.
But it's weird. It's weird when you see it, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird when you see it. And it's weird when it happens to you, too. I mean, sometimes it doesn't always happen to you. on especially starting out and developing, like along the way, you kind of like realize like, well, that set went great. What did I do different? And this set didn't go as good. What did I do wrong?
Right.
But I remember Ray Romano got off set. I worked with him at Jimmy's Comedy Alley.
Uh-huh. I remember Jimmy's. Yeah. I love that place.
Yeah, I middled for Ray Romano back in the day. It was awesome. He was a great guy, too.
He's a great guy.
He's such a sweetheart.
He hates to follow anybody strong.
Well, he was great about it, though. He was so funny, man. He was so goddamn good. But anyway, he got off stage. I mean, he just crushed for 45 minutes. Absolutely destroyed. And then he got off stage. Yeah, well, that was about the most autopilot I've ever been.
Really?
Just walked right through that one. It's like, he goes, I totally phoned it in. They fucking bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. It was hilarious.
I just did a benefit with him for Peter Boyle's, when, you know, his wife started a cancer fund and research thing. And Ray, you know, comes up to me. It's so funny, our lives. He goes, can I ask you a question? It may sound a little awkward. I go, why? He goes, did you talk about your balls at all? I go, no, why? He goes, oh, I got a ball bit I wanted to do, but I didn't want to talk about balls again if you did it. Thanks for checking in with me, Ray. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, you might want to check out some of the upcoming fights. Even better, if you can catch them up close in person. It's quite an experience. But if you want to get the best seats, you have to act fast. And that's true for a lot of things in life, especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You need to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. And to do that, you need ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So, amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by Hostage Tape. First of all, what a great name. This is a product that I use, and I started using long before it was an ad. Your sleep game is about to get a whole lot better, kids, because I want to introduce you to Hostage Tape. Put simply, it is tape for your mouth. But you're probably wondering why you should even need that. Well, if you're a mouth breather, if you snore a lot, or if you suffer from sleep apnea, this could make a big difference. This mouth tape can reduce or eliminate snoring and apnea, and at the same time, it'll help filter the air going to your lungs, increase your oxygen uptake, and improve circulation, which will make you feel more energized. It has tons of other benefits, too, like it helps with bad breath, dry mouth, and, of course, better sleep. For you and your partner, don't let bad sleep hold you hostage. Shut your fucking mouth with Hostage Tape. Buy it today and get a special buy two, get one free offer. That's a 90-day supply. Just visit HostageTape.com/Rogan. That's HostageTape.com/Rogan.
Yeah, God, do you ever have that with guys? Like they say, oh, sorry, I didn't know that you talked about that and, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Do you give a fuck? I don't, like.
No, I don't give a fuck. I tell you what, I did a bit that Johnny Sanchez did, and I knew that I had to have heard it subconsciously because I swear to God, and Johnny knows me, he knows I wouldn't take it, but it was too specific. It was about Mesopotamia and Persia and Babylonia. Like, it had too many rings to it that I thought, John, he goes, no, do it. I go, I'm not going to do it because I know I had to, like, I could have been sitting upstairs at the Laugh Factory, not even paying attention, heard it in my mind. You know what I mean? That's the danger of some of these things because sometimes it's not malicious.
Right.
You know?
I mean, and that sometimes is that weird thing where you're working with a guy and they have a bit that's on the same subject as your bit, but it's a different bit. Like, all of a sudden your friend has a time machine bit.
Right, all out of nowhere.
Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, you're like, okay, yeah, well, that's not my bit. Yeah, yours is definitely a different bit, but you're going to do a time machine bit right before I do a time machine bit? That's
yeah, I've seen that on the road where you have the middle act.
To do.
Middle act the next night all of a sudden has the same subject matter.
Yeah,
wow,
it's
amazing.
Called on your material.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and guys who open for you, when they're doing that shit, it's so gross. It's so transparent. you know.
And I hate to tell people what to do, you know, as far as subject matter. I feel like so.
But you can't. You can't. Yeah. It's just a, you know when someone's got actual bits, and you know when someone's just trying to step on the subject matter. It's a weird thing that people do where they get competitive with the other acts that they're working with. And it just ruins the whole vibe. Like, if you go on the road with people and everybody's having a good time and everybody wants everybody else to do well, that's like a great feeling.
Yeah, it is a great feeling.
When you're working with a guy and he wants you to eat it, and so he's trying to, like, bury you.
Yeah.
He's trying to do shit to bury you. That's a weird feeling.
I can't even imagine that way because I've always been with you.
Yeah.
I had one guy that did that to me in New Jersey. And he just kept trying to fuck. You know, you could tell.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's just,
yeah, that's the area for it. Mine was in Philly. My worst case example's in Philly. I had this whole bit about Madonna. And this dude did the bit in front of me and used Janet Jackson.
Oh, right.
Like, did the exact same bit. I mean, it was the same.
I remember the Madonna bit. Did you call her a whore in it?
No, I told a beautiful human being.
Oh, okay.
I never called her a
whore. Wrong bit.
No, it was just about watching a video. It was a stupid joke. I don't even remember the exact wording of it. Watching a video, a Madonna video, while my girlfriend was in the room and having to field dumb questions. Like, if you had to choose her and me, who would you pick? I want you to be honest. And then the joke was like, I would fuck her in front of you, over your mother's house, on the kitchen table, with her ass in your cornflakes. So it was a stupid joke. But this dude had the exact same joke the next day with Janet Jackson. I'm like, well, that's crazy. Like, he just stole that joke. And it was, I didn't know, you know, back in the day, I didn't really know exactly how you dealt with that. I had enough material that it didn't matter. I didn't have to do it. I was, like, already phasing that bit out. But I thought it was crazy that this guy had, like, two or three bits all of a sudden that were on the same subjects. And one of them was, like, basically the same exact joke. Yeah, yeah. He just reworded it.
Did you ever throw something away and somebody picks it up and runs with it? I had like a thing where I was talking about I'm not a racist unless I'm in traffic, then I become a racist. You know,
right.
It's got to be a fucking chink in front of me. I'm telling you, I know it. It's got to be a chink broad, right? And I drive with see, it is like. And
why would you ever throw that away?
Well, I don't know. I mean, but anyway,
it's fucking funny, man.
There's an act at the Laugh Factory now. His whole first 5 minutes is about that.
Oh, wow.
Being a racist in traffic. So.
Wow. And he heard you talk about this?
Yeah, he had to hear it.
That's really pathetic. That's really pathetic.
I'm glad I motivated
him. I've seen guys do that. I've seen guys take a bit that someone else said in a conversation, and all of a sudden they do it. Well, what they don't understand is that a lot of times, like, when you say something in conversation, you might have already said it on stage. Or, you know, if you have, like, a point of view on something, it might be something you've already been working on for a long time. And if you lay out the premise like that to a guy, like, that's just as bad as stealing material.
Right. But, you know, some things you can't steal. Like, when you were doing the two bits about your daughter,
mm-hmm.
It's so vivid. Like, you can see that. That's a, I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell you that.
Right,
that's
right,
what
right.
makes
yeah.
it so funny. But it's, like, perfectly, you know, executed in the sense that you see her. And you see you and her, you know, not just the banana thing, but the second thing. And
right.
It's fucking hilarious because it brings you in. To something that's what people hopefully can't steal is your essence and your own life. You know, if somebody starts talking about my cousin Johnny, I know they stole from me.
Right.
I know they can fuck around and dance around shit, but.
But there's a weird thing with being influenced by people versus stealing from people. Because
we're
I
all
think,
influenced.
Yeah, we're all influenced. Like, we didn't get here on our own. None of us get here on our own. I think what everybody's always concerned with, though, is, like, the honesty of where these ideas are coming from. Like, if you're taking ideas from other people, the whole vibe of what you're doing is completely different. Because, like, the vibe of a stand-up comedian, like, what I love about, say, a guy like you, when you're on stage and you're killing, is I know that this is your mind putting all of this together.
Yeah.
I know this is like an individual's point of view and expression, and I'll lock into it and have a great time with your thoughts. But as soon as I think that you're just parroting someone else's words, as soon as I think that this isn't something that you've absorbed, this isn't a part of you as a human, these aren't your actual thoughts, these aren't your actual conclusions, this is just you saying some shit, well, then you lose a big chunk of that connection. Then we have a bullshit relationship.
Well, there's no soul to it. It's like I was watching a guy last week, and he really was stuck in the '80s, and really stuck, you know, without being able to budge. And he was just doing. He had nothing. Had any heart to it.
Yeah,
it was just like, you know how like Rodney did it so extreme that it was funny.
Right.
You knew that it was a character. You knew it was jokes, and it was funny because his character is so brilliant.
Right.
But this guy was trying to act like it was him, but it was jokey jokes. Do you know what I mean? It was bizarre. And I thought, man, does this
but
guy...
Dude, put that away. How dare you?
What happened?
It's a video of me when I was like 20 years old.
Dude, this is so crazy. Somebody's just like, I just remembered Dom Herrera from Full Frontal Comedy. So I'm like, I wonder if I can find that clip.
Is that and Joe
I just, and I just pulled it up and it's Joe on Full Frontal.
Me and Dom.
Like random.
Yeah, I did it with Dom.
I've never seen this before.
Oh, it's terrible. Don't you dare play it.
He still leans forward when he screams.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still flexible at the waist.
Oh, wow. This is crazy.
I'd love to know what bit that is. Do you know, Joe?
I don't know. It's probably terrible, though, whatever it is. It's something involving the penis. Don't turn it. Brian, stop it. Stop it. I do not. Last thing I want to hear is my old stand-up.
No, no. Let's hear a minute.
Torturous.
Let's hear. I want to see what bit it is.
Fuck out of here with that.
Let's hear a minute.
No.
Minute. 1 minute.
Go to Google. Go YouTube it yourself. I don't want to listen to myself, man. The last thing I want to do. Even my special, like, I didn't listen to it until last week. I had like a day to edit it, and I watched it for the first time the night before.
Oh, this one it's just
coming
out.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like watching myself.
I don't either.
I do it for the purposes of working on material. Like I'll listen to recordings.
Yeah.
And I do learn shit when I watch myself. Like what I think is more effective. Like what pauses are more effective or moves are more effective. Like and you can incorporate what you figure out from watching yourself. But I don't. It's like. It takes away from a lot of the fun of the improvisation of it all.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch myself.
Well, do you mind if we watch you?
No.
Would you mind stepping out for a minute?
No, I cannot wait to watch this. Like, I've never seen that before.
I brought Joe up in Montreal.
Yeah, Dom and I became friends because we did, what was it called?
It might have been called the Danger Zone.
Danger Zone? Comedy from the Danger Zone or something like that?
Yeah. It was in Montreal at Club Soda.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I met you, I think.
Yeah, that was my first like real TV credit, I think. I think I did MTV Half Hour Comedy Hour before that. And then but I didn't really care about that one because I couldn't swear. You know, I just want to do a real one. That was like my first real set. And then Dom and I met again at Amsterdam Billiards, and that's when we fell in love.
Yeah.
We found out that we play pool. Dom and I play pool. We're regulars at a certain establishment that will remain unnamed.
Look at that guy. Look at that young chap from 1996.
Look at that sexy bastard.
Looks like I got a wig on.
Look at the fucking moves he's got.
No stomach.
If I was 6'3", it'd be 64 inches long.
What? I don't remember that.
A lot of cock, big boy. A lot of cock. I read about this guy. He got hit by 2 trains in one day.
All right, that's enough. No, we're going to watch me.
Listen,
we're not going to watch you.
Listen. We don't have to do that to you. Isn't it weird, like, seeing a recorded version of yourself from a long time ago?
Yeah, especially when I was, like, 50 pounds lighter with a big head of hair.
Dom Herrera, listen, what we need to do is get you a podcast, first of all.
I got a podcast.
Yeah.
You've been on it.
I know. Listen, let me finish. Well, you have a podcast. What I'm saying is we need to get you a podcast that just deals with you not drinking.
All right.
Podcast where you just – you get all – any like, momentum you have, any motivation that you have to drink, any, like – release a podcast about it. Release a podcast about why you want to go have a drink or why you don't want to have a drink. And I think people would be absolutely fascinated by the struggle of it all because you're very open about it. You're very honest about it. Every time you've come on the podcast, when you haven't drank and you were telling me how great you feel.
Yeah.
And then now you're like, it's too fucking fun. Shit.
I'll be your co-host and I'll try not to drink.
Well, I told that, you know, like in Young Frankenstein when Gene Wilder says, no matter what I say, do not open that door. And he walks in to talk to the monster. Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I said to Noel last night at the Laugh Factory, do not give me another drink, under any circumstances. I come back 10 minutes later, all right, I'll take another drink. He goes, I don't know what to do. You just told me not to give it to you. I said, forget about what I said. You got to listen to me. I'm a drunk.
You can't, I mean, you can't keep like seesawing like that. And I think maybe doing a podcast would be a good...
Catharsis?
Well, a good sort of a method to try to stay sober, if you really want to. I mean, if you don't want to, look, I mean, I would never try to go to Stanhope and tell him to sober up. He doesn't want to do it.
I can't imagine him sober.
He doesn't want to do it. If he wanted to do it, he could do it. He could do it anytime he wanted to. He could do it tomorrow if he wanted to. He could.
Mitch Hedberg was the one I tried to reach out to.
Really?
Yeah, because he, you know, he was killing himself, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I didn't know he was doing heroin.
Well, I was worried. You know, I think statistically heroin's safer than alcohol.
Really?
Yeah. I think alcohol is, it's some really dangerous shit. We just don't think it's dangerous because it's everywhere.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It crushes your immune system. But it also makes you feel great, too. Got a couple of whiskeys in you. Sweet Home Alabama comes on the jukebox.
I think that's the secret. Is going back to beer for me. I think I need to just go. I used to only drink beer, yeah. And then I just got on this Jack Daniels kick out of nowhere. And I'm just like, why am I drinking so much Jack? I could throw almost a 75% of a bottle now.
I know. I think I'm like a gunfighter in the Old West.
Yeah.
I drink like whiskey now.
Yeah, me too.
What the hell's that about?
I like it. I like it. It makes me feel like I'm alive.
I love that feeling down your throat.
Whoa. Yeah, I had a shot last weekend before I went on stage in Seattle. I did that Parlor Live. You ever do that place up there? What a great club. That area of Seattle, Washington, is called Bellevue. It's a suburb.
Yeah.
It's fucking beautiful out there. It's so nice.
It's beautiful. The Northwest is incredible.
And it's so, like, it's all, like it's very, like, high-end stores, a nice area. I guess that's where, like, Microsoft is or something.
Uh-huh.
Shitload of that paper up there. Down
Mercer Island.
Making that big paper. What's Mercer Island? That's an island up there?
That's where my girlfriend from college lives, yeah.
Really? She lives on an island?
I still go out there and give it one for you. One for the team, Joey.
One of these right there. The girlfriend from college, you still slam it to her?
Nah.
Can you imagine?
She looks much older than me now.
That's.
You know what's sad? We get so programmed. Like, no matter what I look like, I can't get a fucking hard on unless the chick's young and hot. I'm done. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm fucking done.
Yeah, people will call you shallow.
I have to go to another country. I am shallow. I'm shallow. I don't care. I don't care what a girl's accomplished. I care about her looks.
Right.
I don't care. You got a PhD in philosophy. Talk to me, baby. I'm hard as a rock. Do you?
Not sexually, right?
Not sexually. I mean, I could be interested in the person.
Yeah, there's that quote. Who said that quote? God damn it. I forget who it was, but he said, all I need from a woman is to be attracted to her. Everything else I get from a man. I think it was George Harrison.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was George Harrison said that. I think.
Uh-huh.
I've always attributed it to George Harrison, but I did Google it and I couldn't find it. But I remember reading it somewhere. Really, really pretty positive. Greg Fitzsimmons has a whole bit about it. He has a whole bit about if you really wanted to hang out with somebody, you know, if he was on a deserted island, he wouldn't want it to be a woman because he gets fucking bored of talking to her. You know, he's not compatible. Like, you know, if you want to be attracted to a woman, like, unfortunately for the male reproductive system, our bodies get triggered by young, fertile women.
Imagine, isn't it amazing how interesting they become? Like, I can't believe you're so stupid, and I find you riveting. Fuck, you never said an original thing in your life. Look at you.
It's just so crazy that our bodies are, like, programmed to that, where rationally your consciousness, the idea is, like, if we're going to evolve, your consciousness should be able to look at that and go, I have nothing in common with this 23-year-old girl.
Right.
What I need to be doing is dating a 50-year-old woman like myself and, you know, and go out and enjoy our last years together.
Come on, Grandma, let's go get a beer.
But the problem is, like, if you were still into sex... your body, unfortunately, wants that.
It doesn't lie.
In shape body.
Your dick does not lie. Your dick.
It's like you feel so shallow and heart. You know, and
but
heartless.
I am shallow. I seriously am shallow. I mean, I pride myself on my shallowity or whatever it is.
Shallowity.
Shallotaciousness.
Lack of depth of this.
The girls that are easy on the eyes are never easy on the heart, though.
Oh, Brian, wow. You are a beautiful human.
You are
easy
there, Shakespeare. The girls that are easy in the eyes, easy in the heart. I say unto thee,
Brian, you're a beautiful flower.
The balls to fucking lecture us, you little prick, you sitting there with your fucking toilet seat.
Beauty on the eyes, Brian. I love it.
Have you been in love? Waiting to come out.
What? Have you been in love?
Oh, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. With summer coming up, I bet a lot of you have plans to travel, which is great. You should get out and experience the world. But I also know how stressful traveling can be. That's why I want to recommend Simply Safe. It provides award-winning security and peace of mind so you can have one less thing to worry about when you're away from your home this summer.
I think SimpliSafe is a great option for home security because it protects your whole home, inside and out. It has a variety of cameras and sensors to detect the worst of the worst, including fires, floods, break-ins, and more. SimpliSafe has your back, and I especially like how there's no contracts and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it out confidently and really see if SimpliSafe is a good fit for you and your place. Everyone deserves to have peace of mind when they're away from home, and SimpliSafe can help give you that. So try it out today. Right now, get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplisafe.com/Rogan. That's simplisafe.com/Rogan. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Twice today.
No, I mean real love, where you like can't eat and sleep. And
I fall deep in love really fast, actually.
That's sad.
Yeah. You don't?
No, I don't. I mean, I have been like kind of married 4 times in my life, but only legally married once. But I, yeah.
Dom's been in some situations before. He's had some struggles.
Well, the one with the ex-stripper
so was horrible.
The craziest.
I can't even, the whole thing with the house and all that other nonsense.
How many of them had green cards attached to them?
That one.
Yeah.
How many had green cards attached
to them? They were all citizens, I was proud to say. Not of the United States, but...
Do you feel bad for like a chick that has to date a comedian? Like for the most part? Like, why would you want to date crazy fucking comedian?
Well, because comedians are like some of the brightest people I ever met. Yeah. So I think that's the difference. We're just going back to they find that attractive. You can get women because they are they're just shallow in a different way. They couldn't be with a guy who's just a good guy. They have to laugh. You know, especially like these models. I remember working at the River Cafe when I was parking cars, and the models, nobody asked them out because they were too fucking hot. Right, so they were alone all the time, you know, and like nobody was attracted to them, or I guess people were afraid of them, you know.
They just didn't want to get shot down. They didn't think they were.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever been in that situation before, where a girl was just felt like a girl was too good for you, and you couldn't even try?
I'm that thick. No,
never. Even when you were younger.
No, I try everything, and I've gotten girls way out of my league just on. Just being funny and honesty. And
well, you've been a comedian for so fucking long, too. It's like you probably don't remember what...
Hey, come on.
You probably don't remember what it's like to just be out there in the free world.
No, but I was like, free better range. Looking then. I was better. So, like, as I got less good looking, I got richer and more famous.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it kind of balanced off. You know what I'm saying?
Especially if you go to like a third world country, you'll press the fuck out of those chicks.
Thailand? I'm big. Big in Thailand. Big with the kids. No, I enjoy it though. I mean, I we talked about this a long time ago, and about how hard it is as a comedian, and especially when you go on the road and, you know, because I try not to do anything with the waitresses, wait staff. But seriously, I'd rather have like a, you know, if I'm going to be with somebody, I'd rather be like a... some nut from the works audience. At the supermarket. Still in their uniform on when she comes to the show.
But for them, like, it's a thrill to get a guy like Dom Herrera because, like, oh, this crazy asshole's coming into town.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You get to toss their world upside down for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Give her a kiss on the cheek. And
you don't name drop. You don't brag and name drop. They love that. They love when you don't. How come you didn't tell me that? Well, it didn't come up. You know what I mean? Like, it's an interesting kind of trick because you're really, like, withholding the bragging to make you look humble, you know?
Humble brags.
Seriously.
Have you ever seen humble brags on Twitter? They're really funny.
I'm in the new humble brag book.
You're in the book?
Yeah, I said something.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Humble brag? They just published this book, and somebody's like, dude, you're in this book.
That's hilarious.
I'll show you.
That's hilarious.
What is that, though? Is that a website? Or
it's like a Twitter tag, humble brag, when someone says something like, wow, I can't believe I got nominated for this today. I totally didn't expect this. You know, meanwhile, yeah, you're just letting everybody know you got nominated with your, like, fake, self-deprecating bullshit.
Yeah, here it is. Right here. It says, so Thursday I met John Mayer. Friday I met 50 Cent. At this rate, tonight I'm smoking weed with Jim Morrison and Terry Schiavo.
How is that a humble
brag?
That's
not a humble brag.
That's a joke.
That's a flat out.
I know.
They're cunts.
I don't know.
This is I truly don't get what this means. It has the cadence. What does it say?
It has the cadence. It's cut off, whoever took this picture, but it really doesn't stack up.
Well, whoever wrote that's dumb. You're a dumb person. You don't understand what he's saying? He's a regular guy who met some famous people, you fuck. I truly don't get what this means. It means you're a cunt.
Yeah, I met John Mayer doing comedy, which was weird.
Yeah, he was doing comedy at the store for a while.
John Mayer?
Yeah.
You asked me about Cunny McShitballs?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, what is this? Louis C.K.'s character?
Louis C.K. We used to do a thing in Montreal. It was so fucking funny. Where Louis used to love it. Oh, shit.
Is that your phone?
Is that your phone?
Your phone is the Beatles?
What do you got,
band? That's a good song. I was like, damn.
Dom Herrera.
Sorry.
He's got one of them old flip phones, too, don't you?
No, I got an iPhone. I got the first iPhone.
Dom Herrera has no navigation up in that car. He has no idea where he's going. I had to text him directions. God help the people that were behind him as he was reading that shit.
People are Twittering. Tweeting, rather.
Oh, they're you have it set up so that when people tweet to you, it goes to your phone?
I don't know. My goddaughter did it.
Oh, that's not worse. Good.
You want to change that right now, because these fucking animals just found that shit out.
That shit's going to kill your battery.
You better shut your phone off, son.
I am.
Or change your settings. Yeah, shut that shit off, because it's going to explode when it comes back on. They just found out they could get you. People just found out they could reach you with just a tweet. Do you understand that?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
insane. You can't let them do that.
You know, when I first...
Your phone will explode.
Did I tell you about Israel?
No, you just got back, right?
No, I didn't go. But
you
I didn't
go.
Everybody in my family, this, you know when it peaked, right? Remember when it peaked, like the danger, and they said they didn't know if there was going to be a war, and they bombs hit Tel Aviv and Jerusalem for the first time in 40 years. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so I had to make a decision, and Jeremy Hotz was coming with me. He's a terrific comedian from Canada, and I just said, look, I'm going to pull out because. My whole family doesn't want me to go. All my friends don't want me to go. And the guy says, but give me 3 days. I said, what is this, Fiddler on the Roof? 3 days? Like, what are you going to talk to the Palestinians? You know, the promoter. So he says, give me 3 days. And I said, look, he goes, don't watch the news. It'll poison you. I said, that's like saying a hurricane's coming. Don't watch the weather channel. It's depressing.
Right, you know? Right.
Anyway, so I canceled. And given him enough time, there was an article in the Jerusalem Post about how like we didn't care about victims from terrorism, you know. It's just the opposite. I only took the gig because it was helping people. You know what I mean?
The article about you?
Yeah,
you don't care about.
It outed me and Jeremy, and the guy who promoted it. I'm not going to name him, but he didn't. He posted it 4 times, you know, and then he said he didn't realize.
How about
what it was
you saying. Write it down on a piece of paper and slide it over here, and I'll name him.
No, I don't want to do that. He's not worth it.
Well, okay, let's not name them then. But
isn't that
amazing? But any asshole that it's mad at you because you don't want to go to a war.
Yeah, into a war. My brother is a colonel in the Marines. My brother Joe, he's almost a general. He's done that house to house combat, crazy shit. I told you about
that. Yeah.
He told me. He goes, hold on a second. He looked something up on the computer, hot spots in the world. He goes, I take a rain check on this one. Well, he told me not to go.
He told you not to
go. And he said it because my other brother said, all right, your caring brother says one thing. Let's call the crazy brother. And the crazy one said, don't go.
Yeah, you know what the issue is, Dom? It's like so far everything has been – the casualties have been kept like at least mildly in check. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that someone can't do something fucking crazy. And it might not happen.
Yeah.
And it might be, you know, a few people die here, a few people respond and die here. It might be the way it's coming on, or it might be an event.
Right. I'm
totally
sympathetic to these people, too. It's not like I do care. Yeah. And the thing...
it's terrible. The situation's horrific.
Joe, you know what I was afraid of? Not getting bombed. Now, that's so random. I was afraid of the airport getting bombed.
Getting stuck.
Yeah, getting stuck there.
Yeah, yeah. You have to think about that.
Because it's not like I can go to Damascus and catch a flight.
Right.
It's not like, you know, if you're in Europe and you know, an airline goes on, Air France goes on strike, you just drive to Spain.
Yeah.
But it ain't like that in the Middle East.
It's not like that at all. And that is one of the tactics that people use. If they're attacking a city, they'll attack the airport so they can't get in goods. So
you hit the runways.
Yeah. That's what they do. Look, it's a very, very volatile situation. And you could have gone over there and you could have been fine. Or you could have gone over there and you could have died.
Yeah.
It's like that's reality in those parts of the world. It's like we have this sort of ridiculous notion that because we're safe over here, because that we don't really have to think about that shit too
much. Well, the world is smaller now. There was a time when it did mean a lot. Like, you know, the fact that we were isolated over here, away from Europe and Asia. you know, as far as fighting. That's why, you know what I mean? There was a time when, now everything's so instantaneous. They could get inside. Terrorists could do something here if they wanted to.
Someone's been watching Homeland.
I haven't seen Homeland.
Good fucking show.
Yeah, you know, I was with one of the leads last week, and not to be a name dropper because I don't even remember his name. But Russell Peters, we went out to dinner, and to be a name
Russell
dropper.
Peters knows everyone famous.
He's fucking hilarious.
You see how smooth he is? Yeah. Hey, I'm having a party. Here's my number, Mixmaster Mike. Come over.
He's the only one that brought a posse to my podcast.
Yeah.
Did he
I
really?
Said, Russell, you're bringing a fucking posse to the podcast?
He brings posses everywhere. He brought a posse to the Ice House, too.
Yeah.
Can I plug that podcast?
Yeah,
Dom Rare Live from the Lab Factory.
Let's talk about doing another podcast. Let's talk about doing the Sobriety Chronicles.
Right.
I'm telling you, it would be hilarious. And it would be a method to keep you from drinking. I know you don't want to drink, because I know how you felt when you weren't drinking. When we were talking, we were playing pool, you're like, I feel better.
Yeah.
I'm just nice to not feel like shit. And I'm
I even felt quicker in ping pong.
I'm sure you
did. That's how much better I felt.
Dom, you don't have to drink to have a good time at these clubs, you know. And I'm not saying that you should try pot, because you don't need to even change your state of consciousness if you don't want to.
Can I still do Xanax?
I don't know. You tell me.
You want one?
No.
Is it good?
I don't want that stuff.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Joe. I don't know, though.
Listen, I'm sure. I don't need that.
It's hanging out at the club. It's impossible not to drink. I try it every day. I'm at a comedy club, and you just see everyone else drinking. Everyone's laughing and having fun.
How about when you're on the road?
I went to the Laugh Factory last night. I had some water. You know, you can go up and have fun, man. You don't need to
all right. So this is my life. I'm in Australia. I'm at the Sydney Opera House, right, 1 week. The next week, I'm at Mr. Magoobie's Joke House.
Right.
And I'm alone. But the girls are nice. I'm having a drink with them. What do I do?
That's
go back to my...
Well, it's sometimes it's fun. Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't drink. I love drinking.
No, but I agree with you.
But I don't do it every day.
Yeah, but you're in a lot fucking better shape than me. You know, you can drink. I shouldn't drink.
Well, even me, I feel it. I feel it when I drink, and I feel the difference in my body. It's just not good for you. It's not smart, and I don't have an issue with it. I can take it or leave it.
See,
I like it. I like it with a meal. I like some wine with a meal. But I can take it or leave it. What I think is important, though, is when you can't take something or leave it, when you have to take it, that's sort of a situation where you got to really worry, well, what is this thing doing to me? Is this thing that I can't take, is it helping me? Do I feel better? Or is it fucking with my whole life? And for you, I think it fucks with your whole life.
I agree.
And I love you, and I love seeing that you were sober, you know. And, you know, I'm not Captain Save-A-Ho. I mean, you can do whatever the fuck you want to do. You know how I am.
I
give people advice if they want it. And you and I have had this this conversation many, many times, and I never really told you what you should do or shouldn't do. I sort of just let you talk and, you know, and ask you questions. But if you wanted my advice would say, you got to stop drinking. It's not good for you.
But I look great. God.
It's one of those things, like, some people can have a drink every now and again, and some people can't do that. All of a sudden, it creeps up and becomes your whole day.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't become, but it does, it's definitely creeped back up.
But for you, you were doing, like, drinks in the morning, like...
That was a while ago. Yeah.
But that became your whole day, right?
No, not my whole day. I would do a drink in the morning on a plane,
Okay.
but I wasn't sitting at home having shots before I got out of bed. Not like Lost Weekend kind of thing.
Were you drinking alone?
Yes.
Really? Yes. See, I can't do that. I can't drink alone.
Oh, I love it.
Why?
I don't know. I think of you. I think of you sitting on a toilet.
Poor Norm's coming out.
I mean, look, for a lot of people that like their drinking, they're like, this is annoying, man. Let the guy be himself. Let the guy drink. When you're reaching out a little bit, and I know when you keep mentioning this stuff, it's not because it's not fucking with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, we go to that pool hall, I don't need to drink.
Right.
I'm fine. I mean, I'm fine, you know, just racking the balls for you. Gets me in good shape.
Well, you you start playing better, too. Yeah, everything works better. So, drinking's fun.
No, nobody
ever says... I enjoy it, but it's goddamn it's bad on the body.
Nobody ever says something like, wait, you look good. What are you drinking again? You really got it together.
But it's not, you know, they say like a glass of wine... every night, it's not even bad for you.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it might be beneficial.
An ounce of alcohol, whether it's in a beer, wine, or it's supposed to be good for your circulation.
Yeah. Well, you know, people used to drink wine with food because they thought it prevented food poisoning, prevented traveler's poisoning.
Oh, yeah?
Traveler's sickness, they would call it. Because back then, when they were traveling around, those assholes with drinking wine out of like animal skins and shit like that. They they made like these flasks out of animal skins. That's how they drank their wines.
Well, I rationalize too, because I'll go, well, I only had two drinks, but they're two martinis with like eight shots each in them. Yeah, they're two jumbo drinks.
Yeah. Do you imagine how hard it must have been to carry food back then? I mean, they probably all got food sickness. You know, because how long does meat stay good? A couple of hours after you kill it? I mean, how many you have a day? What do you have when it's 80 degrees outside? Do you have 2 days?
I know. That's what cracks me up about people bitching about a plane being a half hour late.
Right.
And comedians saying, you know, like, I was actually trying to write a bit about it, because the idea of taking a year to go across the country and, you know, getting stuck at the Donner Pass because it's snowing. How fucking crazy. Imagine, like, where are you going? I got to go to bed. I got a gig in San Francisco. When? Oh, next June. In a year. Oh, really? You better get some rest. You know what I mean? It's like, we just take it like, fuck, a half hour late, son of a bitch.
Well, you want to really wrap your head around a crazy number? Here's the craziest number. Between the invention of the airplane and the dropping of an atomic bomb from the airplane is less than 50 years.
Wow.
Talk about a life-changing event.
Hitler fucked up. Hitler fucked up. He should have never alienated the Jews. They won it for us. Wernher von Braun.
Well, yeah. Well, Oppenheimer, right? He was the guy that created it. Wernher von Braun was the NASA guy.
Wasn't he the guy that did the atom bomb?
No. That's Oppenheimer. Wernher von Braun was the guy who supposedly got us on the moon.
Son of a bitch.
He's the guy from Operation Paperclip. The all the best Nazi scientists from...
We're Jewish.
Were Jewish?
Weren't they at first?
Oh, I don't know.
They came over the side.
We took care of that.
I don't know if they were or not. But all the best Nazi scientists were sort of distributed between Russia and the United States after World War II. And America started, you know, they started with Wernher von Braun. They got Wernher von Braun and all these different Nazi dudes under Operation Paperclip. But they were all like legit Nazis. That's one of the dark secrets of the American space program. It was run by Nazis. Wernher von Braun was a legit Nazi. Like, if he was alive today, the Simon Wiesenthal Center said they would prosecute him for crimes against humanity.
Wow.
Apparently, he had a rocket factory in Berlin. And there was this guy who did this documentary on the moon landings. And he interviewed people that worked in the rocket factory. This guy had tattoos from being in the concentration camp. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how Wernher von Braun, like, they would hang the five slowest Jews in front of the rocket factory every day.
God.
Like, it was, like, really dark, dark, dark shit.
How could you hate
shit.
That much?
It's not. I mean, that's beyond hate. That's like, inhumanity. It's like that regime, that Nazi regime, that ruthlessness also yielded some incredible science. I mean, the scientific achievements just in their rocketry and engine building and, you know, the shit that they were able to do. And then Russia scooped some of them up and we scooped some of them up. And that's where
But the atomic
NASA
bomb was invented here, wasn't it?
Yeah, Manhattan Project. Yeah, that was Oppenheimer. It sounds pretty Jewish. Is Oppenheimer Jewish? It must be, right?
Of course.
Of course?
Of course.
Oppenheimer?
Of course, let's not forget the best.
Speaking of Jews, on Christmas Eve... I'm doing a synagogue.
What?
Doing a synagogue and a the Laugh Factory has a show, a Jewish show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I love that.
Nice. You have a gig on New Year's Eve? Where you at?
Oh, I'm at the Goodnights in North Carolina.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which I'm really looking forward to. Not only the club, but my family's down there, and I got a lot of friends in Raleigh. So
I'm looking to see if he was Jewish. It does not say. Damn it.
We showed this on a podcast before, that this Nazi experiment with the dog head.
Yeah, they had electrical impulses into the dog head and made it move after it was detached from the body.
Ugh.
Yeah, they did
it's
some...
blanking. Look, that looks real right there.
Yeah.
Looks like the dog is alive.
Dude, they did some crazy shit. The Nazis did some crazy shit. And they were really haunting. Obsessed with the occult. That's really weird. I wonder how much of it is, sort of revisionist bullshit that, like, these reality TV shows try to do, these sort of half documentary type shows. Like I love Ancient Aliens, a fun show, but the reality is they get a lot of shit wrong. Like, they're not trying to be, like, super duper accurate about some of their stuff. And so, like, when they say something like that, that the Nazis were really into the cult, I really wish I knew how much into the occult they were. But that was a theme of, like, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Right.
You know, remember the Raiders of the Lost Ark when they found the Ark of the Covenant? That was supposed to be the Nazis were after all this occult shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently they had like a reputation. I really should educate myself on that. Find out how deep that was and what the fuck that was all about. But this guy, Oppenheimer, one of the creepiest
things. Are you looking at that now?
Yeah, when he when he blew up the nuclear bomb, he quoted the Bhagavad Gita. This is ancient Hindu religious text. Mm-hmm. He said, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds."
Wow.
Could you imagine standing next to a dude who's so fucking smart that he created an atomic bomb? Like, his inventions gave birth to the atomic bomb. Yeah. And then you're standing next to him while it blows up and he quotes that kind of shit.
Like, he's happy about it.
He's not happy. He wasn't happy at all. He thought it was a terrible, terrible mistake. Yeah. Well, a lot of these guys that are scientists, the real issue is in becoming a scientist, you're pursuing knowledge. You're pursuing the measurement of different experiments, and you're trying to invent and create with technology. But at a certain point in time, you must know that if you continue down this path, it's going to lead to insane amounts of people dying. And in your mind, it's a battle now, because as a scientist, as a person who's trying to achieve a goal, you want to see if you could be the first person to do this. You want to see if you can be the first person to split an atom inside a bomb and lead to this incredible explosion of energy. You want to do that, but then you have to realize, like, wow, if I do that, what the fuck am I really doing? Like, I'm the only way this can get done. Right. And then there's the argument, well, if you don't do it, the Nazis are going to do it. We have to do it first.
That's what the argument was.
That's what the argument was. And so this guy was caught in there, and he got there first. And when he said that, you know, that became one of the creepiest quotes ever attributed to anybody that's responsible for anything, like, really monumental.
I had read that a lot of the scientists we got were Jews who left Nazi Germany when they could get out.
I bet there was that too. You know? I'm sure there was that as well. I mean, that's Einstein.
Yeah.
But I think the rocketry program in particular, NASA got a lot of
they were real Germans, Jewish.
They were Nazis. It was Operation Paperclip. I mean, and how many of them were Nazis because their families were forced into that, because they were stuck there? How many of them were Nazis because they were really fucking, you know, psychopath creeps? Mm-hmm. Who knows? How many of them actually were responsible for murder? No, I don't know.
I would love to know what he was saying, though, because you got to admit, the guy was a riveting performer, Hitler.
Yeah,
I mean, he was a charismatic speaker. I mean, I thought, did you ever see pictures of Khrushchev?
Yes.
When he took his shoe off and banged
it? We will bury you!
Who the fuck takes their shoe off at a UN meeting?
Yeah, and says we'll bury you.
Yeah.
Do you remember that fear that we had? You know, there was a fear of being in a nuclear war with Russia.
Sure.
And it was all the time. We always felt it. Like, that was like in the 80s, that was like, especially because there was no internet back then, we didn't know what the fuck was really going on.
The button, the red phone, picking up, you know, the president had that power.
But you would get your news, like, from, you know, either newspapers or the news shows. That's where you got your news.
I wonder if it ever came close to a nuclear war.
Well, they say that the Bay of Pigs, it got pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear about the Russian sleep experiment that they did back in the 1940s? They wanted to keep 5 prisoners awake.
I meant the Cuban Missile Crisis, not Bay of Pigs. But no, what did they do?
They wanted to keep 5 people awake. They took 5 prisoners and they said, like, hey, we want to do some experiments on you. And then, we'll let you go. So for, I think the first 5 days, everyone was kind of, you know, fine, you know. And then it went from them, like, screaming, like, for hours at a time, like, get me out of here. And, like, they had microphones in this, like, in this pen. It was like, you know, a sealed kind of thing that had no windows, and they had microphones so they could record everybody what they were talked about and stuff. And they started going crazy. They started screaming and everything. And they were pumping this room full of some test gas that they were trying to, so they could keep soldiers up for 10 days at a time. You know, and so then all the people started screaming. Then they were quiet. Then all the scientists were like, I think the microphones aren't working. They're not making any noises at all. And so they go in there, and all the people are just very calm. They didn't want to leave anymore and stuff like that. And then when the experiment was over, they wouldn't leave. Like, they were, like, fighting.
So they bonded
like,
they, with them?
They wanted to stay in this chamber. They started, people started, like, I guess people started, like, killing themselves because they didn't want to go, like, ripping their throats out and stuff like
that. What?
And there's a video on YouTube called...
What is the exact name of
the Russian sleep experiment? It's on it's on YouTube, and there's a video. I think it's what the microphones recorded.
I'm remembering this now, but I think I might have in my own head incorporated it into that. Do you remember that movie In the Mouth of Madness?
No.
What's that?
It was a movie about a dude who was an author who went fucking crazy, and I think I attributed some of the aspects of his the book had some weird power over people. When they read the book, they'd get sucked into this crazy world, like the world around them would change. Really fascinating book. I forget who wrote it. I want to say it's Stephen King, but it's not. The Mouth of Madness.
Yeah, there's a website called creepypasta.wikia, whatever, just type in the Russian sleep experiment. There's the whole story, and he breaks it down per hour, and then like how people just they started going crazy and that
movie In the Mouth of Madness is it's a John Carpenter movie, creepy ass movie. It's a really good movie, but for some reason I incorporated that. I guess that is like a real news story. I incorporated that in my memory. It just goes to show you how like memories can be faulty as fuck.
Oh yeah,
you know, I incorporated that reality into a fake memory.
I guess one of the people were hurt, and they tried to give him anesthesia, and the guy was like, "I must remain awake. You know, I must stay awake." Like they,
whoa,
yeah. It's interesting though. Read it when you get a chance. Read this whole thing.
Are you sure that this is not fiction?
I always thought it was real. I've heard that there's people that questioned it based on the YouTube video. Because the YouTube video is just the microphone, so I think a lot of people are like, "Hey, that's not real. Somebody's just bullshitting," you know. Because at one point they do start screaming and running around and stuff. But I never really researched it. It's something that I heard a long time ago. But yeah, I'm sure the internet will tell me if it's real or not soon.
Yeah.
Well, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true,
right?
Yeah, I want to find out if this is true. Should I go to Snopes? Is the Russian sleep experiment true? Huh. Yeah, I need to find this out because we can't keep. We have to make sure.
It's
that we
interesting,
don't
though, right?
Spread disinformation. People get so aggro with correcting us.
Joe, you're spreading false.
I try, folks. I try so hard to get shit right. One dude got mad because I called hemp a cousin of marijuana. Meanwhile, it says it's a cousin like everywhere online, everywhere you read. Just Google cousin
don't
hemp
they get marijuana from him?
BBC has it. It's a strain. It's a different strain, and it's the male of the species, and I understand that. And this guy was saying that I was spreading disinformation. It's like people are jumping up trying to catch you saying something wrong. So when we have something like this, you know, this is a nice way to say things, folks. Okay, and if something's wrong, say, "Hey, I think maybe there's a dispute about the definition of this," or "Hey, maybe you didn't know, but even though everybody calls it a cousin, it's something else," or "Hey, maybe, you know, just be nice, folks. Don't be all cunty."
I have two.
Stop
friends.
With the disinformation.
Like you're doing it on purpose. I have two friends that are lawyers, and one of them always ends the argument by going, "You're wrong."
Oh God!
So that shuts it all down.
Oh God!
You're wrong.
Those guys are just so gross. You can't have a conversation, you weak bitch. Have a conversation with someone who has a completely different point of view from you and take it in.
That's why I don't talk politics, because I've never seen anybody go at the end of a political discussion, "You know what? You got a good point. I think I'm going to change my mind."
There's an issue with a lot of men socially when it comes to arguing about things. And that issue is they're trying to win.
Yeah.
You know, they're not comfortable with themselves enough to just be themselves.
Right.
They're trying to establish societal dominance. They're trying to establish a social dominance.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend, okay, just very nice person, who has
just
a husband.
Just pass me the name over. I won't.
Who has a husband. And when I'm forced to interact with this guy, it always becomes this weird thing where he tries to, he'll like brag about something and it's this weird social thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it might be like he'll try to crack a subtle joke at you or, you know, but whatever it is, it's this weird, like uncomfortable, like posturing thing that goes on.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I'm around him, I always like treat it like a research subject. I was like, wait, okay, what, you know, what throws it off exactly? You know, what do we have to do to get him to stop? What should I do this time? Should I just agree with him? I go, you're amazing. Just say no. You are a really amazing guy. Your wife is so fortunate. You know,
change my life.
Make him really uncomfortable. Can we hang out together more? Because I think I can learn from you. There's just something about you. I mean, what do you do?
That's
do
so passive aggressive. Them? You know.
Yeah. What, do you mock them or do you call them out on it?
I wouldn't call them out. I think it's like the guy who with the Israel thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I found out that he posted this thing four times, I called him up and I says, you know, I really look forward to working with you again. I understand you're coming in today. If you need, I could send the car for you at the airport, or I could pick you up myself.
Right.
Totally just being fucking evil.
Right.
I was, you know. But instead of like going, fuck you, and then he's got that recorded, it's like, hey, man.
Right.
You know, thank you for doing that. I appreciate the exposure in Israel.
It's indefensible. The fact this guy wanted you to fly into a war zone is fucking nuts. To tell some jokey jokes,
yeah.
The guy's an asshole. You know, he didn't like the fact that he had to give his deposit back or whatever the fuck went wrong. But guess what, dude? That's part of what goes on when you're dealing with shit in a war zone.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's not the fucking entertainer's fault that they don't want to fly into a fucking war zone.
And the writer apologized and he said, we got to be careful not to get comedians that are skittish. So in other words, you know, I'm sorry for what I said, but these guys are pussies.
Skittish.
Skittish.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you use the word skittish when there's bombs.
Right. Yeah, he's skittish around bombs.
If there's actual bombs going off,
I get anxiety attacks when I'm getting shot at.
Is it a real war? Oh, it's a real war. Huh. And I think you might be a little harsh. Skittish, you judgmental cunt face. Where does this guy live?
That shit's not
Which
real.
Which one?
The guy who booked this shit.
Oh, here.
He lives here. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't live
he
there.
He doesn't go over there, does
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he goes over, but he doesn't live
fucking
here.
Pussy. How dare he?
Everyone's saying that Russian shit's fake.
Yeah.
From like 2009, imagine. It was just like this viral thing that went around.
Oh, it's a fictional piece of work. Yeah. It appears to have started spreading in a viral fashion sometime in 2009. Meanwhile, we were just contributing to disinformation, Brian.
Well, at least
you're part of the problem. I told you, Brian is fucking Illuminati.
It's good. It's a nice story, though. It's a really creepy story.
It's good and creepy. Yeah, it's good and creepy.
I remember it from a while ago, and I just, you know, remember reading it and going, hey, that's crazy.
Yeah. I guess it's just a cool it's not even a hoax, apparently. It was just a piece of fiction.
Yeah. I like this Providitol.
Providil.
Yeah, I could feel it. Yeah. I feel like wide awake.
Oh, you
right
took
now.
It?
Yeah.
it's gonna kick now, in even later.
See if your pulse is your pulse elevated.
No,
we learned about this shit from powerful Dave Asprey, and powerful Tim Ferriss.
It's not. I just feel awake.
I will say no more.
Yeah.
Were those guys comedians?
See if it works. No. That's one of the cool things about having this podcast is that I get to hang out and talk to all these like. Dudes way off the beaten path never get to communicate with, like this guy Dave Asprey, who's I would guess you would call him like a human performance expert, and he runs a tech company.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, he also like has this website that he puts out all this information about health and fitness, and he does these brain hacking things and all.
How'd you find him?
Just met him online, man. Met him through communicating online. You know, people recommended his work, and then you check him out. And we had the guy in here. The guy, he's a fucking super creepy genius. It was one of those crazy podcasts where, like, after it's over, like, you got to go back with a piece of paper and write down shit and Google things. And it was a crazy podcast. I learned a lot of stuff. And, like, what are the odds of getting a chance to talk to a guy like that if you didn't have a podcast like this?
Yeah.
How would you get someone to sit down with you for 3 hours and talk about shit?
Yeah.
You know?
I'm always amazed by the mind. I used to teach school. I taught fourth grade, and I was amazed at how kids had different intelligence.
Uh-huh.
And how, like, I remember I was really bad in math, but I knew the batting average of the top 10 players in the American National League without even thinking about it. I knew the ER, the earned run average of the pitchers. Isn't that incredible? The way your mind accepts things. And then I was like fucking retarded in math.
Yeah, I always loved that I knew like Marvin Hagler's record.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I knew who he lost to, what the decision was. You know, I knew Duran's record. You know, I could read you back like how, you know, where he had his first loss, when he beat Ken Buchanan to get the title. Yeah. You know.
Did you watch that whole fight the other night?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I figured you'd watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was crazy the way he walked into it, huh? You can't let down. You can't make that instantaneous mistake in boxing. You're done.
Yeah, I think he's got his attention very stretched as well. There's a bunch of issues with Pacquiao, I think. I think one of the big issues is that he's like, I don't think we can even wrap our heads around how famous that guy is.
Oh, in the Philippines?
Yeah. I mean, he's like a god.
Yeah,
he could
be president.
He could be president of the Philippines. So there's that, and he being a congressman over there, who knows what kind of crazy fucking pressure that guy's under. Who knows? I don't understand. And then on top of that, he's trying to train. And then on top of that, he's super famous, so he's got to constantly be doing media things, constantly be doing interviews, constantly talking to people. And then on top of that, he has a family. Like, that's a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you could really do that. I think you could do it for a little while because you were so good at boxing to begin with. But I think he's at a point where his skills have started to slip because of the fact that he's not putting the same amount of focus into it as he was.
He's got too many distractions.
And then on top of that, he's had a lot of wars. He's had a lot of crazy fights.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't getting hit too much in other fights, but man, these goddamn Marquez fights. Marquez just has his number. Some guys just have.
But didn't you think he was winning up to that point?
Yes. Yes, I did. But he did get knocked down. And he got knocked down with one punch. And that was the first time he got knocked down. He got knocked down the fourth, maybe? And then he got knocked out in the sixth.
Second to go. That's the cleanest punch I've ever seen a quick guy take, like a guy that kind of lightning speed. Because he really walked into it flush.
Oh, flush.
Boom.
You couldn't hit a guy any more perfect. Marquez just drilled it down the middle. Brilliant placement, and when you see the impact of it, we were watching it in Dana White's dressing room, and when you see the impact of Pacquiao's head fly back, you were like,
if he fell down face first,
and
then
you see him fall down face first, we all just like leapt up. We were like, whoa! Like, who saw that coming? Because Pacquiao was moving in on him, like he had hurt Marquez
he's
before that.
Got a little too cocky. See, I would love to hit somebody like that without fear of getting hit back.
Well, that's what I've always said. Like, people say, like, hey, man, why don't you fight, man? Why don't you fight MMA?
Yeah.
First of all, everybody wants to beat people up. No one wants to fight, okay?
Right.
Everybody that says things like that,
you
don't know what a fight is. A fight is he gets to do that to you, too, stupid.
Right.
You know, it's not a matter of, if I can kick ass, I just go in there and kick ass. Well, then people who can also kick ass are going to kick your ass. You understand that, right? Like, you have to be ready for the craziest fucking competition known to man.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. He's a professional fighter. Yeah, he trains as a fighter.
You can't just go kick ass, okay? It doesn't work that way, dude.
You know what's funny about people that talk about, this guy used to say, I'll fucking throw you through a wall. First of all, when's the last time you were in a fight? Second grade. You know what I mean? Like these guys, they talk about fighting all the time. I'll break your fucking head. You never did anything.
There's
are you fighting Kool-Aid?
A whole series. Hey, Kool-Aid. There's a whole series of dudes I've met throughout my life who have told me that they can't lose because of their mentality.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's this thing that guys will tell you. This fucking guy, it was a year ago a guy told me. He goes, I tell you what, man, if I dedicated myself to MMA... If I dedicated myself, I would dominate. Because, dude, my mentality is I cannot lose.
Yeah, you know how
I'm
about
saying?
Getting hit here?
I was like, what the
fuck? Hit here on this nerve, see how you can lose.
And I have to sit there when a guy says something like that and just nod and go, okay, well, good luck with that mentality. Yeah, but you don't understand my mentality. I cannot lose.
Right.
When I get that in my head.
Just make sure you don't fight anybody.
And they always invade your space when they're telling you this. And you're like,
do you ever get people challenging you?
No. I'm like super friendly. You know, I'm not like very standoffish at all.
I know you are. You're great with people.
But if someone like those kind of guys, if you challenge them, if you want to like get in an altercation with a dude, you can say something and they will probably hit you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are just running around looking for someone to hit.
I told you that Ray Mancini story, right?
What happened?
He came to see me at the Improv with his wife and his kids. And then when I got off, he came out to talk to me. This guy comes up and he goes, hey, Ray, Boom Boom Mancini. It's great. You know, he gets all excited. He goes, hey, Ray, can you hit me? And he goes, what? And I go, look, man, He goes, yeah, I want to see what it feels like to get hit by a professional boxer. Just like hit me. And, you know, I go, look, man, he can't hit you. I mean, he's the nicest fucking guy in the world. He can't hit you. Right? And the guy goes, oh, come on. He goes, all right, well, can I hit you then? And I go, will you get the fuck out of here? Can I hit you then?
What the fuck?
I know.
Can I hit you then?
Can I give you a shot just to show you how strong I am? I'm just on the arm.
I had a guy ask me if he could carry me once.
He could what?
Carry me.
Carry you.
Yeah, he
was it raining like outside?
He put his jacket down over the puddle.
He wanted to take a picture with me and he wanted to hold me.
Are you serious? Yeah.
And that's how he said it too. He said, can I carry you? I go, what? No. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? He was a big giant dude. He was this big, he looked like he was a Native American. Long hair, long dark hair. Scary as fuck.
Juicy fruit.
So you have a problem with that guy. That guy would take a while.
There's a question that stands alone. Can I carry you?
Come on, crazy.
All right, carry.
He's like, probably like 6'8", 6'9", big giant dude. Wanted to pick people up in pictures. That's his thing.
A strange fetish, but understandable.
Well, you know, when that's what you got, you know. It's a funny thing when people like, you know, they're like super proud of like a physical attribute that they were, you know, sort of born with, like being like really crazy tall.
Yeah, well, you know how tall I am. I'm just pretty fucking tall, so I just walk in. Being tall and all, and like,
it's a strange thing, you know. I suspect guys with big dicks have that too. Yeah, all happy.
We do.
All happy that they got a big dick. But listen, man, you could have easily been born with a micro dicks that you laugh at online. That dude didn't ask for that dick. You didn't ask for your dick. You got lucky. What is that that you're showing in the corner?
People are saying that you are an undercover Russian spy or something like that.
How's that?
So I'm showing the KGB logo.
Why are they saying I'm an undercover Russian spy?
I don't know.
How the fuck can you be an undercover Russian spy?
You get a lot of tweets during the show?
Yeah. It's fun to watch live feedback. Joe doesn't like it.
Well, the problem is they will entertain your thoughts with a lot of negative shit.
Yeah.
You know, and you're inviting, I mean, every now and then it might be fun, but you're inviting too many options.
Do people really think you're a reptilian or all that shit? Like, do really people believe that?
No.
Like, you're some part of the...
Yeah, the Illuminati. I'm sure there's some... Look, there's a lot of people that are what you call paranoid schizophrenics, and that's legit. And that's not, like, a small percentage of our population. You know, there's, like, I know several. I know many people that have, like, legit mental illnesses. I think it's super common.
Yeah.
So if you're a person with a legit mental illness and, you know, you see someone on television, you can get completely convinced that they're involved in some sort of secret society to hold you down. I know a dude who's losing his mind. That one dude we know is losing his mind. Thinks that everybody's working for the fucking CIA.
Do we know a few people that are really losing their mind?
Yeah. People being mind controlled and shit. Like, what are you? You like, stop. Settle the fuck down. There's much less conspiracy afoot than people would like to see fit. Than people would like to believe, rather.
Have you ever been contacted by any of these groups, like Scientologists or Illuminati?
I would be into joining Scientology. They seem like they have a lot of money, and then they protect their people well.
Right.
We'll have to rework some of your rules, but I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, but I guess if you
don't understand that religion, do they believe in God or they believe they're
a group of badasses. They're very successful. If you look at what Scientology's done, they're amazing at making money and at managing their business of Scientology, and amazing at acquiring really expensive real estate. I think they're like a big real estate holder in Los Angeles. They own like some really big fucking buildings, a lot of like really expensive stuff.
Yeah.
So they're smart.
That was L. Ron Hubbard, right?
Yeah. Well, he's the guy who started.
But I mean,
he's been dead for a long time.
Do they think that do they believe in a god or they believe their god?
They believe
aliens.
They believe some crazy shit written by L. Ron Hubbard. That's what's really weird about it. It's like they believe some. It seems to me that some people just need a structure. They need some stuff that tells them all the answers. Every question that they have is answered, whether illogical or not. Some people just need that base covered. And they'll take that base from Scientology, or they'll take that base from Buddhism, or they'll take that base from Christianity. They'll take that base from whoever gets there first. Whoever gets there first, whoever's in the right position, who resonates with them the most, they'll accept that.
Right.
And for something like Scientology, one of the good things about Scientology as opposed to a lot of the other religions is there's a lot of like pretty interesting principles that they mess with in terms of managing your consciousness,
positive thinking,
accepting positive things in your life, enacting change. Like, there's like a lot of like that's why Dianetics was so successful. Like, Dianetics, when they sold it on TV, you didn't know that you were becoming a part of some sort of crazy religious cult. Nice. You thought that you were buying a self-help book. And I bought a bunch of self-help books, man. I bought Tony Robbins shit. I listened to his books on tape. Yeah, when I was poor as fuck living in Revere, I used to listen to
Revere?
Yeah,
oh, that's hilarious.
I was a struggling comedian. I was listening to Anthony Robbins tapes and just thinking about like how to make things happen. Yeah. Like, he's a really good motivator, you know. And the Dianetics thing I thought was this very similar. That's what I thought it was. And then when I got the book, they sent me invitations to go to like the Scientology Center and all this different shit. They sent me them almost every month. They were relentless for years. Like, if you're lost, they reach out and they just get you. It's like, this is pre-internet, okay? Because this is like 1994. Mm-hmm. So it was fascinating to me because I didn't understand what it was. We had no internet, okay? Wrap your head around that, people. So if someone asked me what Scientology was, I had to like literally go to a store, I had to buy a book, right. I had to read it myself. So in reading this Dianetics book and then getting all these emails actual physical mail sent to my mailbox from this group, I was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. So then it piqued my curiosity, and then I really looked into it, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is a cult. And
did you ever get sucked into any of that?
No, I never went to like a meeting or anything, but I did sit down with a dude, and he did that stress test thing on me.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. But that was way later. That was like a couple of years ago.
Well, you definitely needed it. Like, the outcome of that test was like, you need to become a Scientologist.
Oh, it was pretty clear.
Yeah.
Pretty clear. It's the most ridiculous device ever. I'm sitting there, and I wish we had Kara Santa Maria on. She could explain us the science behind it, how woefully lacking it is in real science.
I wish we could too.
Because you're in love. But anyway, they would sit down with you, and you hold on to this e-meter, and he would ask you questions. And I don't remember the nature of the questions, but I just remember it being so ridiculous. And I remember asking, like, how many different things can affect this? You know, what about intent? Does intent affect it? What if I get angry? Does that affect it? So then I tried to just, like think of answers, like, in a fucked up way. If I could, like, really raise my craziness up.
Did they have, like, your brain all
No, I believe, if I'm not exactly sure because I was really high when I did this. But
so it wasn't that long ago.
It was a couple years ago. It was, I was filming Game Show in my head. We were down there, so that was before Fear Factor came out. So it was a couple of years ago, at least 3 years ago. Anyway, point being, I'm sitting there with these fucking tin cans in my hands, like holding on to this thing, and this guy who is reading out of this book like a Prozac zombie. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, he's a weird, disconnected dude, right. And he's reading me these things. He definitely doesn't know who I am. You know, he's never watched Fear Factor or anything before. Right. He was 100%. Like, he asked me my name a couple of times. He forgot it. He had to ask me it again. But the way he was, like, taking me through, do you feel, how do you feel when you feel about your childhood? I'm like, it's great. It's pretty good. Good childhood. I'm here. I'm healthy. Okay. How do you feel about your education? Like, he was asking me these weird questions while I'm holding on to these cans.
What was he looking for?
I don't know. I don't understand it. They're trying to like show that you have a certain amount of stress in your life, and what they would recommend is that you look into Dianetics, and then you look into Dianetics, and then boom, you're a Scientologist. And what, you know, Scientology can do for a lot of people is provide them with a framework, provide them with like a scaffolding. It gives them like a way to like move forward. And that's legit for everybody, for whether it's Christianity or anything. When you give someone a framework, sometimes it just like, all they need is a step-by-step instruction of how to get through life or how to move through, you know, to the next stage, how to go get a job, how to get their shit together. Like, people need like instructionals.
Right, well,
so even whack ones. You know, whack ones that have aliens in them and, like, with all that other stuff, the Thetans and the volcanoes. And what is the story?
We can play the quick South Park clip.
Yes, let's do that. Right. Let's do that.
I think this is the...
Why fuck around when the masters have already nailed it?
Okay, hold on. Let's get this right.
I could tell you what stresses you, Joe.
What?
Lack of integrity.
Yeah.
In anything. Stealing material, people that bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's listen to this.
There. Okay, let's see if we can.
There is a reason for people feeling sad and depressed. An alien reason. It all began 75 million years ago. Back then, there was a galactic federation of planets, which was ruled over by the evil Lord Xenu. Xenu thought his galaxy was overpopulated, and so he rounded up countless aliens from all different planets, and then had those aliens frozen.
And then there's a graphic that says, this is what Scientologists actually believe.
Cruisers, which looked like DC-8s, except with rocket engines. The cruisers then took the frozen alien bodies to our planet, Earth, and dumped them into the volcanoes of Hawaii. The aliens were no longer frozen. They were dead. The souls of those aliens, however, lived on and all floated up towards the sky. But the evil Lord Xenu had prepared for this. Xenu didn't want their souls to return, and so he built giant soul catchers in the sky. The souls were taken to a huge soul brainwashing facility, which Xenu had also built on Earth. There, the souls were forced to watch days of brainwashing material, which tricked them into believing a false reality. Xenu then released the alien souls, which roamed the Earth aimlessly in a fog of confusion. At the dawn of man, the souls finally found bodies which they could grab onto. They attached themselves to all mankind, which still to this day causes all our fears, our confusions, and our problems.
So, yeah.
Brilliant.
That's where our fears, our confusions, and our problems come from. From Thetans.
They're so fucking smart, aren't they?
Oh, those guys are the best.
I love South Park. Have you ever met those guys?
Me?
No. Or laugh? Have they? Do they? Have you ever been to the Laugh Factory? Or do they come in
is
there?
It, what's the guy's name?
Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Trey Parker, I've met somewhere along the line.
Oh, that's cool.
I think he was producing a long time ago, maybe on Fox or something, or writing.
So you used to open up for Cher. Did you ever mess around with Cher? Did you ever get a part of that?
Did I ever what?
Like mess around with Cher?
You mean like sexually?
Yeah. Or,
no.
You know,
not
touch
even
her
close.
Butt.
No.
Wear her outfit with the butt.
I remember one night we were working the Mirage, and I would, you know, when we were working like casinos, we would see each other. Like at an arena, there'd be a break after it, you know, so I would never see her because uh-huh. She'd be putting on one of her wigs and her eyelashes and all that shit. And she goes to me, as we're walking by her, she goes, I can't believe you did a jizz over a hedge joke. My grandmother's here. And I said, I can't believe that your grandfather gets to see your ass. Right? So later on that night, we're downstairs at a party in her room, and her grandmother says, like almost like it was a sitcom, she goes, I love that bit you did about the hedge. Right? And I look at Cher, she goes, you know, what the fuck? No, she was cool, though.
Yeah.
Very cool. You know, it's so weird how people are. Like, a friend of mine is working with her. They're doing a gig in Russia soon. And she, you know, I mean, she's very fucking talented. You know, obviously she's accomplished, whether you like her or not. And she's insecure about her voice.
Right.
You know? I suck, but I love to sing. I'm singing with him with all my fucking, I'm not insecure. But of course, she's famous, you know, as a singer. But it's just so weird how people can be insecure. And we know this from any part of show business. You know, the needy comedian, what'd you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the worst. And unfortunately, there's a lot of us that I really like that are like that. They want to come up to you, is this good? Is this okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, come on, man. Get out of here with that shit.
Yeah.
Go up there, dude. It's funny because the way we do stand-up, all of us together, it's kind of the same way. I mean, we all get together. We have these shows, whether it's Ari or Duncan or Joey or whatever. We're just hanging out, and then one of us will go on stage. I mean, you've done these shows with us.
Of course.
And another one will go on stage. But every now and then we'll bring someone new into the mix, and then they're like, "Is this any good, man? Should I open with this? What should I do?"
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Go up, go up there. Come on, man.
Joey was
crazy.
Both of them were on that show last night. They left, I think, before you came in.
No,
I
met Ari upstairs.
They were both. Yeah. They're both fucking really funny. But Joey was fucking high as a kite. His eyes are like closed. He goes, I'm so fucking high, Dom, and he almost fell. I tell you, I almost fell off
he's
the fucking.
He's a big boy.
He's a big boy.
That's not good. If he falls off that stage, that's not a
no, no. He was
going
to fall backwards. Neither way is good.
Neither way is good.
But he would have killed those girls in the front.
You can break things.
I was watching those women when you were doing some of those bits, and they couldn't fucking help but laugh. You know, when you did the last bit about, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love watching people who can't help laugh, even though they think. I've seen people shake their head and laugh. I go, no, you can't disapprove and laugh.
It's hard when you're out with coworkers,
yeah, man,
because you don't want those other ladies in your office to have, you know, like you're all on the corporate ladder together. You don't want them to have any dirt on you. Yeah, we went there, and you see this one every fucking blowjob joke. She's laughing her ass off.
But before you came in, I asked them something that you really shouldn't ask women. You shouldn't ask them. I said, "Which one of you ladies do you think is the hottest?" And also the least hot. And then one of them was their boss. I go, leave her out of it then. She's the boss. But just like, I mean, obviously one of you is in a different league than the others. I mean, I could see. And they were like fucking laughing. And each one of them was thinking, I wonder if it's me, you know?
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they liked you, Dom Herrera.
I love fucking with people. I love like...
interacting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're doing a show, Joe. And if you ever want to come in, I don't want to be a fucking... plug machine, but it's going to be called Busting Balls with Dom Herrera. and we encourage interaction with the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, you know how they say no talking during the show? I want you to fucking talk. I want you to break balls.
Really?
And then we have, and then we'll have also an interview, and we can bust each other's balls, or we can be fucking goofy, you know?
So you're it's essentially not heckling, because you're actually encouraging the interaction.
Right. It's not heckling,
So it's not like a regular comedy show.
No.
That's going to confuse the shit out of your regular comedy club people.
Well, but I'll say it at the beginning, you know.
But then they're going to want that kind of Dom Herrera action. They're going to want that spontaneous shit.
I don't mind. You don't mind, do you? You don't care.
I don't like when bits get interrupted. I don't mind talking to people.
I mean.
I love talking to
people. Well, you don't get interrupted. People have to.
Sometimes you do. You know, there's drunks, man. Drunks fuck up.
That's part of our business.
And they also want to, like, have an interaction with you.
You ever have people call out your bits? Like, you're not doing enough? You ever have that?
Yeah, they'll say, do that. But, you know, it's really hard to do a bit when someone asks. You can do it.
Because it's so unspontaneous.
It's also really hard to do a bit when you know that they already know it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's not the same as a song.
Yeah. It's weird because it was for Dice. Right? You know, when Dice was at his peak, that's one of the things is everybody would, like, say the joke with him. What's in the bowl, bitch?
Well, you can also, his audience was...
those inferior humans.
God love him, as my aunt would
that
say.
I am a part of. I was probably in the audience. I went to see Dice in Vegas. I had a good old time.
So he tried to badmouth me on the show?
No, he didn't badmouth
me. You were covering for me, you and Eleanor?
I hear
things.
Listen, you guys got to hug it out. Hug it out, us two old school gangsters. Dice is Dice.
We were friends at one time.
Yeah, I know you were. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He's not a good guy.
I like him.
Joe, he's not a good guy.
He's a good guy to me.
He's a good guy to you. He's not a good guy. I'm a good guy.
You're a great guy.
I'm good to people.
You're a great guy. If I had to choose between the two of you, I'd take you.
Me too.
You guys are all getting in trouble now. You guys are just stopping because you're now
getting in trouble.
I love Dice. I do. I just wish that Dice Dom Herrera has been my friend, my good friend since like 1990. I love Dice. I'm a huge fan of his. I grew up being inspired by Dice. But I like Dom better.
If you had to have sex with one of them.
I'm not just saying that.
But it's just because Dom is my very good friend. I mean, Dom and I play pool every week. I can't go without Dom.
Yeah, if you had to have sex with Dom or Andy.
Andrew. Andy Dick?
Andrew.
Dice Clay.
Yeah.
Oh, I would. Dice is much hotter than me. Beautiful.
Yeah, but you're probably softer and cleaner.
Probably more of a challenge to hold Dice down.
Yeah.
I think you'd be cleaner.
Oh, that's what you consider sex?
Well, for me, it's got to be some sport in it. I don't want to be fucking a dude. It's got to be a bit of a struggle, I think. Yeah,
I couldn't do it. I couldn't get a hard on seeing a hairy ass.
You say that, but what if that became your thing?
How's it going to become my thing?
You have this one skyrocket orgasm because apparently a big dude like that can really clench down on his ass cheeks. And
hey, anybody getting hungry?
And when you squirt like you've never squirted before. And then you just make a decision, okay?
You know, you should write poetry, mister. You've got away with words.
Oh, ain't learned about fucking. Oh!
You know, I try to get over that karma bit. It's tough for me with the Italian thing.
What, him and...
No, I just hold grudges, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I only have three... There's only three comedians I hate.
Who are the other two?
Craig Shoemaker and Bobby Collins. Well, I can't believe you got that out of me.
Well, you really backed me into a corner.
I don't know Shoemaker. I've only met him once.
Fucking asshole.
What's wrong with Shoemaker?
He's just a bragging cunt. And I said it with all due respect, Joe.
With all due respect.
He's just, all right, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I'm trying to clean up my karma, right, a couple years ago. They said, do you mind if, and I'm, you know, I draw well in Atlantic City, so I'm going to do the Regatta, and they said, do you mind if Shoemaker opens for you? Now, he was getting $7,500 to open, so you know that I was getting good money, right? So I said, you know what, fuck it, clean up the karma, let him open.
Right.
That's 45 minutes instead of 25 to fuck me. And you know what he said at the end? He goes, I'll never work with you again. I said, why is that? And I'm thinking, you don't got a chance to work with me again. He goes, because you, I can't believe you could follow me. What a fucking ego. What a jerk.
So he was upset?
He was upset because I followed him. He thought he buried me.
So was it like a, was he like sort of jokingly, jokingly praising you?
No, he's just such a dick. He wasn't joking at all. He just really thought nobody could follow him because he got a standing ovation. So I walked out. I go, look, a fucking guy opened for me. He got a standing ovation. I'm not. What am I supposed to do? Fly around a room?
Right.
You know. I mean, and then, but they were there to see me.
Right.
So, you know, it was not hard to.
It's
follow.
It's really hard to bury someone when people are there to see you.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Well, he was just, and I didn't even get lay into him like what an asshole he was telling him about the time. Well, imagine doing 20 minutes over when you're opening for somebody. Just take the money and fucking run.
Yeah. Why did he do that? Did you ask him?
No, because I just didn't want to communicate with him. I didn't want to fucking have a talk out with him, and because I don't want to be friends with him.
Right. So that was it. You were trying to clean up your karma.
And then I blew it, and then I blew it with Bobby Collins, that fucking dick face. Do you know him? You know him?
Bobby Collins?
Hey, you hot shit.
I don't know him very well. I know him from
seeing him
around.
You could never, Joe, he's the exact opposite of you. He doesn't have a fucking honest bone in his body. He's so fucking phony. He's the kind of guy who'll go, this guy Frankie, who used to work at the Comedy Connection, Frankie, baby, look at you, you lost weight. Frankie goes, Dom, I look like I'm going to fucking explode. I gained 100 pounds, so I saw this phony fuck. But that's the kind of guy he was. So he demanded to, we were working together at Staten Island, and I don't give a fuck about going on first. I don't give a fuck. I just want to get the money, have a good time, get out of there. And I was supposed to headline the show, and it said it in the contract. So the Bobby Collins was throwing a fit about who was going to close the show. Did he watch it?
A picture of Bobby Collins.
Look at that phony fucking smile.
Hi guys, I'm a white boon.
So anyway, he calls up. He wants to close because he wants to sell merchandise after the show.
Okay.
So the producer calls me. They say, call Dom. He's a good guy. Oh, fuck, he doesn't care. So she calls me and she goes, you know, do you mind if he closes? I go, look, I'm a headliner. I headline. That, you see what it says on the contract? She goes, oh, I understand. You're right. I go, I don't give a fuck. I'm kidding you. I said, I'll do a meet and greet at the beginning and then get out of there. I don't care. They're going to pay me. I'll do my best. Anyway, after that, a month later, Mike Ivey, my friend, my black friend from Mississippi, told me, you know, Nicky, I love you, brother. And he goes, Nicky, I got to ask you a question. Were you opening for Bobby Collins at Staten Island? I go, Mike, what do you think? Right? So he goes, no. I said, well, it's not even worth talking about. Anyway, I see Bobby at the Comedy Store. I go, Bobby, you're fucking pathetic. Tommy, baby. I said, you're just pathetic. And then I walked away, and that was it. So that's so much for cleaning up my karma. This isn't on the air, is it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Bobby Collins to close the spring 2007 CFA season, the Laughter Arts Festival. What is that? What is the CFA? College of Staten Island. That's where you guys were?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's funny. This is great. You can look this shit up.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you had those bad experiences with those two guys. But
I mean,
I bet you ironed it out by just outing them on the radio.
You ever have guys just come up to you like for things you've said on podcasts yet? Because you've been very outspoken with, like, you know.
I'm on the edge.
Yeah.
But I love most people.
Well, you're a very honest guy. If you tell me, you know, that someone's been a cunt to you, I always believe you.
Yeah. I mean, I would never. I tried to, like, patch things up, and I was wrong. I was right. I wish I was wrong. You know what I mean? I wish that it worked, but it didn't work out. I mean, you know how many guys. Look, these guys. Oh, did we do the thing about Louis C.K.?
The shitty McCunty. No, you started it.
Oh, okay. I was just talking about people I love. Like,
I don't know what happened.
I mean, somebody, you know, you and Louis and Bill Burr, some of the best comics in the world. Fucking Taj. And Louis used to come into Montreal, and so he'd be in the audience, and the character was Cunty McShipballs, like the grossest. And so I'd be hosting the show. I go, excuse me, I think we got a celebrity in the audience. And he put his hand over his head and go, no. I go, is that you, Cunty? Is that you? And he goes, I said, Cunty McShipballs, everybody. Right? And everybody, yay! And, like, because we had plants all over the room. Fucking right. You know. And then he happens to have a guitar by his seat. I go, Cunty, how about a song? No, I can't. Please. Cunty. The whole crowd's going. Then he comes up and does his fucking song. And we used to cry laughing.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I never seen Louis happier. He loved doing the character. Oh, Cunty McShitballs. I don't know if he had a middle name.
You know, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. But Stanhope said this, and I never agreed with him more. He goes, I could quit doing comedy, but I couldn't quit hanging out with stand-ups.
Yeah.
You know, just to have that kind of an experience, be able to tell that story.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking fun.
And have that's actually your job. That's what you do
that's
for work.
That's what you do for a living, yeah.
I mean, what we did last night, that was our job. Dom and I worked together last night at the Laugh Factory.
Right.
We worked.
We're hanging out
laughing. Yeah, we were just laughing.
Yeah. I remember hosting some shows thinking, this is what I do. There's one. You ever hear about the guy who sticks the Roman candle up his ass? And they light it, and it flares, and they play, and he walks, parades around. There's no business like show business.
Really?
Yeah. Can you look him up? You got to see this. It's one of the funniest fucking things.
He lights a Roman candle?
He sticks it in his ass.
Oh, my God.
He pulls large pieces of furniture out of his ass. Remember that from Jerky Boys? I'm also known for pulling large pieces of furniture out of
my shoes.
That's right.
So I'll have
to. Dude, I listened to some Jerky Boys the other day, and it was fucking hilarious. I forgot how funny some of their shit was. How do those guys stop doing that? What happened? They were so good.
Because the rules change with telephone calls and people. Remember, then they changed it where you can only do it in Vegas. You can only do it in Nevada, like make prank calls.
Right.
Because then you can, all kinds of legal shit. Plus, people started getting onto it because they were becoming famous.
Right.
That's why I wonder with the Impractical Jokers. You ever see that show?
I haven't seen
it. Check
that
it out. It's really funny. Yeah, excellent.
Did you hear about those Practical Jokers that woman committed suicide?
Yeah, in Australia.
What happened? Do you know the whole story?
Yeah, so there was a hospital. Who was there? The queen?
The princess, whatever the fuck her name is.
Yeah, Princess Peach was at the hospital.
Duchess, whatever.
All right.
Yes. Some royalty was there.
Yeah, and so this radio station had this prank where they're going to act like the mom, so I guess the queen, and they were trying to call it. And so the operator, like they called up and they were like, I'd like to speak to my daughter or whatever. And the operator just let her through. Like, oh, yes, one second, please. Instead of like, how do I know this is the right person and stuff like that. And then they did this prank on the radio station, and I guess it's, because of the royalty.
She betrayed the crown, and she killed herself.
Killed herself.
If my granddaughter Kate, is my granddaughter Kate there, please?
Or she was
like,
murdered.
That's what they said. No, they immediately, the people in the phone really did immediately give up information about her.
Yeah.
About her condition. Like, they started just rattling off the information. Yeah. They didn't, double check at all. They weren't even remotely suspicious.
Talk about fucking up your day, though, huh? I mean, everybody loses.
Yeah.
The girl's dead. The hospital security's questioned now, and these people lose their jobs.
Yeah.
They just meant to get a laugh.
Yeah, Morrissey is really interesting. You know, Morrissey, the singer, he's blaming Kate Middleton for the death. Because he's saying the arrogance of the British royals is staggering, and that's why we're and why it's allowed, I really don't know. So he's saying that the recent story about the nurse killing herself, there's no blame placed on Kate Middleton, who is at the hospital for, as far as I can see, no reason. She feels no shame about the death of this woman. She's saying nothing about the death of this poor woman. Wow. Boy, Morrissey needs a fucking hug. What a depressed guy. How does he know what another person feels? How can he say, she feels nothing? How can you really say that? What does someone say when someone commits suicide over a prank like that?
Yeah.
Well, you can't say she feels no shame. She's saying nothing. Is she supposed to say something publicly about that? I mean, what obligations do you have to
she has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, she has nothing to do with it. What obligations does she have to comment on something that's obviously a horrific thing? And, you know, to blame her, that's so ridiculous. Silly Morrissey. The idea of the royal family is crazy, though. That the fact that we give a fuck. CNN had it on. It was the problems in Gaza, okay? CNN was talking about the dangers of Gaza, showed like some night vision with a bomb going off and shit like that. And then they said, and, you know, Royal Kate, whatever the fuck her name is pregnant. There will be another baby, a royal baby.
Well, you I was
next to it.
Yeah, I know. It stands because it sells. People are interested.
But it's on CNN. It's crazy.
Joe, I was in Canada, and when the Queen Mother died at 102, I had a bit about her, she looked 101, this whole thing. She died on a treadmill, her thing. But when I did it in Montreal, it got an applause. It's interesting how people react to royalty. When I did it in Ottawa, which is more mixed, Montreal is mostly French, you know, French and English, but they're not under the auspices of the crown by any stretch. Ottawa, a little bit, you know, a laugh, a little mild applause. Toronto, nothing. Nothing. Not a fucking sound. Yeah, that an American would have the arrogance to come up and do something against the Queen. Isn't that funny? Like the same fucking joke, just a couple hundred miles west, boom, nothing.
It's very weird when you see people that are really, like, taken into the royal family thing. Royals, like, leave the royals
alone. Live their lives. They read about them, like, as if their thoughts are more important. And
yeah, I was making fun of the Queen when I was in England one time. I forget which town we were in, but it wasn't, like, London. London, they probably would have laughed their asses off. But these people were
Manchester, one of those towns.
Goodness. I don't remember what town it was. It wasn't Manchester. Maybe it was Newcastle. Anyway, wherever I was, I had this whole bit about how people, like, try to pretend that, like, that this queen, this woman, was, like, really, like, a queen.
Right.
Like, you know, that Princess Diana really was actually a princess. Like, no, that's just a person.
Yeah.
Like, and she's a woman who didn't even have a job. And, you know, she had a woman with children who tried to kill herself, like, three times. You know, and I'm like, how many people would be in that same position and be incredibly fortunate and feel so happy that they have all this money? How many poor people would love to be in a great position of wealth? And she was like, oh, no, the tea is cold, the crumpets are stale, where's the razor? I cannot possibly go on. The tabloid showed a photo of my backside. Quickly drain the pool. I will dive from the roof. This is horrid. Horrid. Life cannot go on. And I had like a whole series of those fucking things. And they didn't know how to react.
Oh, yeah.
They started, like, you could see people like, oh.
Well, it's because you're American, too.
But they went with it eventually. Eventually, I beat them down with it. Because it's just like, come on. It sucks when everybody dies. It's like, this is not a... you don't need royals. You don't need the ancestors of the people who suppressed your ancestors and give them some special favors. This is crazy. You know, that's like... But they're holding on to that shit somehow or another. And they've gone from being these horrible dictators, which they used to be, to these weird sort of benevolent people who, like, wave and hold some strange position of a social example. You know, example of the perfect etiquette, the perfect behavior.
Yeah, I mean, at least the Pope was elected.
Yeah.
Not that his wealth that shouldn't be in question, too, but they were just born into it.
It's craziness.
And then marrying into it is even more hilarious. All of a sudden, she's a princess.
It's fucking nuts, and everybody's following it. I mean, it's, like, so dumb.
Who was the one that gave up the crown because he wanted to marry somebody? Remember the... One of the guys gave up the crown. Can you imagine how fucking hot that bitch was in bed to give up the fucking crown?
Yeah, well, I bet in England, like, being a royal is... What do you think is better, though, in England or, like, in, like, Saudi Arabia or something like that, like a Middle Eastern country?
England.
You say that, though, but those Saudi Arabian guys rock it way better.
Yeah, they
the Middle Eastern guys, they rock it the right way. When they want to go balls out,
they
pay girls hundreds of thousands of dollars to be sex slaves. And then they have
discos. Yeah, I would say that's more fun, definitely. Because you're not judged as much.
Nobody is rocking it like those young chic dudes that have those, like that one guy, the Sultan of Brunei. That guy, who's the guy that has like the famous parties where he will fly out like the hottest women. Apparently, it was like a dirty secret for the longest time. Pre-internet, he would get like the all the hottest penthouse pets actresses and shit that like you know weren't doing so well. Because you could go over there and you could make like an insane amount of money.
She's not doing so well. Give her a call.
And I'm not joking.
I mean, I did a gig with those guys and they fucking sent me a watch that was worth like $20,000. Like ridiculous. And they were asking me about Italian bits, which is so fucking funny from Saudis, that they knew, like, Joey Bag of Donuts.
That's funny.
All his old shit, yeah.
That's hilarious. Those guys have so much money that this guy, the Sultan of Brunei, apparently has a disco in his house. Makes his own disco, which is beautiful, unbelievably lavishly appointed disco. Gold gilded work on the ceiling. It's magnificent.
Yeah.
And just filled with tens. Just tens everywhere.
Oh.
And this guy just goes out there and slides amongst them, has a cocktail, mingles, mixes with the next group. They're all trying to impress him, and they're all trying to compete. And it was him and a few of his friends, I guess. And he just fucking bang them. Just woo, every night. And every night, he's fishing in this stock pond. I mean, it's really nobody's ever been such a baller. Because he's not actually enslaving anybody. He's paying them significant amounts of money. Okay, he's not corrupting their morals. They're willing to do this. Okay, there's nothing wrong with the exchange because the amount of money they're making is really fucking staggering. But when you really stop and think about like how many guys have ever done it like that, the Sultan of Brunei is probably doing it the nicest way ever. Everybody else who did it, they did it with armies. You know, every other guy that's like lived like that, they did it with swords and you know conquering towns and keeping chicks in cages and shit. This guy just pays them stupid amounts of money based on oil money.
That sounds like fun. I mean, I think Prince Charles is kind of sad because he's at the point now where he's like he loves his mother, but you know, Mom, could you die already?
So I could be King Charles.
I'd like to be king before I'm 70.
Do you think
if she lives to 100, he you know what the fuck's gonna happen to him?
Yeah, she might outlive him.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, who's under more stress? You know, she's probably just nice and slow all day.
Oh, yeah.
He's running around, doing shit, trying to fucking make ends meet, trying to put food on the table. Dom Herrera, that poor prince. What does that guy do all day? Prince Charles.
Being a prince? I don't know.
Anal.
She's going to play snooker.
Did you say anal?
Anal.
Wait, did you look something up?
Yeah, I was looking at buttholes and fireworks, and I just got really lost.
Oh,
I found an old article from 91 where you were with Ellen doing comedy in Miami or something like that. Did you ever bang her?
Ellen DeGeneres?
Yeah.
Oh! Hey, talk to this waitress. I got to take a leak.
No, I never banged Ellen.
No?
I love Ellen, though.
I know.
No, I worked with her. I worked with her in Miami, too.
It was something. It looks like it was 91 that you worked with her.
I know I worked with her at Caesars 92. In Atlantic City.
92 for HBO One Night Stand, maybe?
Oh, okay. Jeez, I didn't remember Ellen doing. I mean, I know she did one, but I didn't know she did it the same night as me. Maybe she did. But great stand-up, Ellen.
Yeah, did you ever know anyone that dated her, or was she always kind of like a lesbian into the comedy?
I didn't know, you know, I didn't know she was lesbian, but I certainly approve of it.
Yeah. Who was your gang, like you know, when you were starting out?
Shecky Green, Bob Hope.
Bob Hope, really?
No.
Okay. Oh, come on.
Not that fucking old. Who was my gang? Well, at the comic strip, it was like Seinfeld and Paul Reiser and Mark Schiff and these guys. And at the improv, it was John Mendoza, Carol Siskin. I don't know if you know those guys, but they were good friends. And but I would say Jerry was the most famous that came out of that generation. He was a little bit before me. I was acting still, and Jerry was a stand-up already.
I paid to see Dom Herrera before I ever did comedy.
Really?
Yeah. If I had done comedy, I'd only done it like maybe once or twice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Knicks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How funny was that place, Joe?
Not only did I pay to see Dom Herrera at Knicks, I paid two nights in a row because Dom couldn't make it one night and his plane was like delayed or something like that.
Yeah.
And Dennis Leary went up. And that's how I found out about Dennis Leary. And Dennis Leary became my favorite comedian for 6 months. But I paid.
We had some good shows.
Dom Herrera before we were ever friends. Yeah, that place is a classic place. So these people, did they get fired or did they quit?
They said that they were going to leave the radio show until it's you know kind of
till a ship blows over.
It's a tough place to rebound, too, because it's such a small country. Not in size, but in population.
I don't think you can blame them. I don't think you can blame them.
No.
The guy, they're just trying to be funny.
No, who would have thought that somebody would kill themselves?
Yeah, they thought that they would, like, have a conversation with somebody. Would it be silly? I mean, they've done that before with other people. You know, they did one of those with Sarah Palin. Remember those Canadian guys? They called and they trolled Sarah Palin? Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody killed anybody. And so they were okay, but this is not okay because the lady kills herself?
Right.
That's craziness, man. You can't blame these people. You can say, hey, you shouldn't do prank calls anymore, but I don't think these people should even be fired. It's really, what they did was not a bad thing. It was a silly thing, but it's not a bad thing. The woman was in the hospital because she wasn't feeling well. It wasn't like there had been some horrible accident and they were keeping medical attention from her that was going to save her life and it led to her death. There was no obstruction of health services. It was just a silly thing. Yeah. You can't blame these people for a fucking silly thing.
No, I agree.
Thing.
I mean, you don't know it's going to backfire that much. It's absurd.
A bunch of pussies. But Morrissey, ugh. How annoying must that guy be? Apparently, Morrissey is a super vegan, and not only is he a vegetarian, but he won't let anyone on his crew eat any animals either. So the crew guys will, like, get together. They'll meet in one guy's room, and they order a bunch of burgers for room service, and they hide, and one guy watches the door. I'm not bullshitting.
He's coming!
And I'm not bullshitting. And they have to have a fucking backup plan if Morrissey comes and finds him in their room.
I love
food.
The honey bit, by the way. It's great. Thanks. Never thought of that.
Yeah. Vegans aren't supposed to eat honey. They're silly bitches.
Now I'm sorry that I mentioned those guys' names because you said it. You know, I forget how powerful this show is. Now everybody's going to know who they are.
Oh, well.
Made them more famous.
Oh, well.
Oh, boy.
Do you have any response to Dom Herrera calling you a cunt?
Dom and I, we just need to get on the phone together.
Come on, he's kidding.
He's we bust balls.
That's hey, I was kidding.
Balls. We bust balls.
I was speaking of busting balls. I was listening to, have you been listening to ONA at all?
No, because I don't have. I only have satellite in my old car.
You gotta get it.
Yeah, I know.
I have a tape deck in mine.
Why don't you get it in your new car? Is your new car satellite ready?
Yeah.
Just order it out, bitch. What the fuck are you doing? Dude, it's really funny lately. Well, it's always funny, but lately they had on Joe Piscopo. Mm.
Oh wow!
And they were busting Joe Piscopo's balls on the air. It was fucking. Ruthless.
The Muscle Man thing.
What they did was they played some shit from like the 1990s when he was in love with this girl and he had like some show and like he sang for her, like he really sang to her. And now, now apparently 20 years later, they've got restraining orders against each other for domestic abuse. They both have restraining orders against each other. And it's like,
that simplifies it.
And you know, he became like, Joe Piscopo became like this weird sort of a caricature of who he used to make fun of, like that whole "I'm from Jersey." Well, now it's like it's really weird.
He's become that,
yeah. And he does like these Joe Piscopo shows, his live shows places, and he fills up these really small places, and he's kind of scratching by and trying. And it's weird, like hearing him get fucked with by Opie and Anthony was like really painful. Like they were.
Why would he do the show?
Because it gets people paying attention to them, and people go see him. Oh. Look, even as a goof. I mean, look, I would go see it. If I knew that he was going to be in town, I would go see it. I would go see it even if I didn't think. I will go see a lot of things that I'm pretty sure are going to suck.
Uh-huh.
You know, if it's going to be an experience.
Comedically, though, you could sit through it?
I don't think it's comedy. Oh. I think he's like singing. Oh, I think he's like singing songs. I don't really think he's doing comedy. I think he's doing like a lot of Sinatra songs and shit like that.
Well, he never really did stand-up. He did character impressions of... The sportscaster.
Dom, I'm an entertainer. I'm an entertainer, Dom.
I'm a triple threat.
But having him...
he does Sinatra.
He does Sinatra? Who else does he do there? The artist, the comedian. What does it say? The comedian, the performer. Is that his website?
From Bruce Springsteen to Sinatra, Joe will take you in the audience on a thrill ride through memory lane full of surprises.
Fasten your seatbelts, folks.
So I think he's mostly doing like impressions and shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
it's like an entertaining show. Like, look at him there.
But, don't mind me, I'm over here.
But
now.
If you don't want to subscribe to Sirius, I'm sure you can listen to some of the clips online. Like people take them, fans do, and they put them on YouTube.
Is our show still on here?
He was one of the reasons I started.
Is this podcast
on? Oh yeah, all the time, man.
One of the reasons I started doing stand up.
That's hilarious. Because he was so bad.
I was getting hired for Saturday Night Live, and because Eddie Murphy, like Joe,
the only two people they kept. I got hired by Saturday Night Live, but they changed producers. And Eddie Murphy liked Joe. They were friends. And they kept Joe because of Eddie. And, you know, Joe was fine on the show. Whatever. I don't mean to put him down. But I thought to myself, fuck this. I can do that. I can do stand-up. You know, I became a stand-up because I didn't want to deal with the fucking agents and shit and, you know, politics.
What year was this?
1980.
Wow. So that's when you started stand-up. You're
yeah,
like, fuck
I passed
this.
At the Improv. And see, I passed right away because I was already a polished performer, not to be a jerk, but I had done so much acting
right.
and improv that stand-up, all I was really okay. I just had no act. And I couldn't understand how stand-ups had to repeat themselves to hone it. That was the tough part for me, you know?
So Piscopo never did stand-up.
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
But he used to do this thing where he'd come in and, like, you know, you could see right through it. And then you'd go, hey, everybody, I just stopped in to say hello. Right? And they'd be clapping, you know, like, in other words, I'm saying hello, which is good enough. Now, if I happen to be funny, great, but don't expect me to be funny because I'm on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, so that's what he would say. He would
stop to say hello.
When he was really famous. How famous was he at one point in time? He was really famous.
Well, he was famous enough to be on Saturday Night Live, you know, like that he was a pretty big name.
Well, I know who he is. I mean, I knew who he is when I was in high school, so he must have been really famous. That was 80, is that what that was?
That was 80 from 80 on. That was a few years after that. I don't remember what happened to him after that. He's always a nice guy, you know. I mean, I don't think stand-up was his thing. It was impressions.
But it's just listening to ONA tear him apart was so brutal.
Well, he's from a different era,
yeah.
You know. He's more Sinatra era, kind of.
Yeah, and then
even though he's younger than that.
Reading his tweets about it, you know, like like trying to like sort of justify it and everything. It's just like he sacrifices himself so that he can get that attention, but that is really the only attention that he's getting, really, if you stop and think about it. Without that kind of stuff, without Opie and Anthony, I mean, they really are helping him out. And Jim Norton actually, like, put it on his tweet, like, go see him. Like,
oh, that was nice. He's such a good guy, Norton.
Norton's a sweetie. He's a great guy. He really is. He's my favorite pervert.
He is.
Because he's so unabashed and unapologetic about it. You know, like, when he talks about, like, meaty pussies. He's like, you could see, like, his little hands getting sweaty and his body starts squirming. He
gets,
you know?
Getting dumped on. that even makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, he's not playing it clean. He's done some wild shit.
Yeah.
Literally.
I was doing a Jimmy Fallon show about a month ago, and my friend, you know, some people have no tact, and I love Jim. But, you know, nobody really wants to look like Jim. No, you know, not that anybody wants to look like me either. But she says to the guy who's a club owner of Governors and Brokerage, where I was playing, you know, out on the island, mm-hmm. She goes, you really look like Jim Norton. He goes, no, I don't. She goes, yeah, you do. You remind me of him. I go, Joanne, let it go. Nobody wants it. If you're going to say you look like somebody, you say you look like Tom Hanks or not Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise or whatever. Somebody who's supposed to be good looking. You don't say Jim Norton. You know
how rude.
I wouldn't want, you know, to somebody saying, "Boy, you look like Don Marrera. You're a spitting image of him. Nice little puffy, overweight. I like that look."
But when you see those pictures of you back in the day, Don Marrera, that video that we had on earlier,
yeah,
does it make you want to go hit that treadmill?
Yeah.
Does it make? There's Jim. That was a cover of one of his CDs, I think, or his book. I think his book. Yeah.
He's funny.
He's hilarious.
Hit the treadmill, Joe.
Do you?
The problem is I have a deli platter right at the end. Come on. Ooh, ah. Oh. Hey, come on. No, you know what? I do exercise. Yeah. That's the thing. When I go to, like, get my annual treadmill test and all, I'm fine. I'm in great shape. It's just eating and drinking so much.
Yeah.
You know, and the hours.
The comedian lifestyle, my friend.
I'm too happy.
Yeah, what did Christopher Hitchens say when he got cancer and died? He said he burnt the candle at both ends, but what a lovely glow it made.
But I don't burn it at both ends because I get plenty of rest.
So that's okay?
I'm not saying it's okay, but it's better than not resting, too.
Do you take care of your health at all? Do you, like, you take vitamins or do you eat healthy? Like,
yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. You know what we just read yesterday? That pizza was an anti-carcinogen because the effect, I hope this is true,
mm-hmm.
The effect of the melted cheese on cooked tomatoes was somehow like esophagus cancer was like down 50% and a bunch of things, you know, if you can find it was great because it's like liberated us.
I know there's a nutrient in cooked tomatoes that apparently it's only in cooked tomatoes that it has a certain effect. Where is it? Lycopene. Yeah. You gotta, you have to cook it to get lycopene. And lycopene is how you turn into a werewolf. Does it sound like it? Lichen? Lycopene? You hear me? You follow me?
Like lupus? I don't know.
I'm talking about werewolves, Don Romero. Lycopene is apparently, it's reduces the risk of breast, prostate, colon, and other cancers. A powerful antioxidant.
Let's get a pie, for Christ's sake.
That's why Italians live so long, Don Romero, am I right?
That's right.
I'm putting sauce on everything over
Come
here.
On.
I'm putting sauce on that, a little gravy on this.
Take some home with you. I made gobbledygots for you, you
That's
son
when
of
you
a-
know they're legit when they call it gravy.
Yeah.
My grandmother always called it gravy. Get them some gravy. Get the gravy.
Yeah, the only time we called the sauce was like... A totally different thing.
Yeah.
Gravy, like gravy, and also was like turkey gravy.
Right.
You know, that kind of gravy. But but red sauce was gravy.
Still gravy, yeah. It was never sauce. You never called it red sauce. And you never had white sauce. Get the fuck out of here with that. What are you, a prima donna?
Yeah.
What do you want, olive oil with
what
garlic?
You, like, half a fag?
Should I fucking massage you while you have that? You can get that. Look at this sexy
Check
bitch
this
right
out.
Here. Jesus Christ, you sexy bastard. Look at you.
Sexy motherfucker.
Look how beautiful you are.
I said, I love my cat. You know those people that always have to...
All right. Like, why are you putting me on?
Brian.
Doing cat material, for Christ's sake.
Brian. How
dare
you?
You're killing me. Wait till I leave.
He's an all-time great, and you're being very disrespectful.
Do you still have a cat? Do you still love your cat?
I'm not going to talk to you. You're not going to lead me into a bit.
Well, if you want to talk to Brian, he will be at the American Comedy Company tonight in San Diego.
All right. If I make it.
You feeling good for that trip? You feel better now,
I can
right?
feel like I could drive, definitely.
I
feel great, actually.
Yeah. Stay That's there tonight, good. Though. Make sure you stay over there.
Don't
try to drive back tonight.
No.
Don't do that, dude.
No. Good luck with the show.
Thanks, man.
And Tony Hinchcliffe is on. He's a fucking hilarious up-and-coming stand-up comedian. We've had him on a bunch of the Death Squad shows at the Ice House. He's hilarious. Really good dude, too. Sarah Tiana, also very funny,
very
cool. We've also had her on the Ice House Chronicles as well. And
Billy Bonnell, who's a hilarious comic. And if you use the coupon code ENDOFDAYS right now at American Comedy Co., you get 2-for-1 tickets for the first 10 people.
Yeah, so that's an excellent show tonight, San Diego. San Diego is really, there's quite a few comedy opportunities in San Diego.
I love it down there.
There's two good clubs. There's the American Comedy Club, and there's American Comedy Company, and then there's Madhouse.
Madhouse,
right?
I heard, is awesome. And, you know, I like the La Jolla
And
comedy.
I did a theater there.
Oh, the Comedy Store, yeah.
I don't remember the theater's name, but I did a theater there. But it was whatever it was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Big ass place. It was beautiful.
They're so happy down there.
Fucking San Diego's great. I mean, it's a little weird because you're right next to Mexico, and you get a lot of people that come over from Tijuana to watch the show.
Really?
That was cool as fuck. I met a lot of people from Tijuana, and they were telling me, like, while we're taking pictures together, hey, man, we came from Tijuana. I'm like, damn, you could just come over? Like, I was under the impression that it was, like, really difficult. You couldn't just, like, go out for a night in San Diego if you live in Tijuana. Like, they wouldn't let you because they would think, why would you come back?
Yeah.
You know? But no, these dudes, they were, like, legit. They had passports, the whole deal. And they went.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, those guys are coming tonight.
So obviously, you get the radio.
That was the Balboa Theater. It was pretty awesome. But, yeah, you can. Dude, you can get Viagra here.
I'm just kidding.
You don't want that Mexican Viagra, too. It might not be real.
Hey, I got Bill Burr on the show tomorrow night.
Oh, Don Marrero with Bill Burr. What kind of a show is this?
It's,
this is craziness.
Busting Balls with Don Marrero at the Laugh Factory, 8 o'clock.
And so this is your show that people are allowed to come in, and they're allowed to like yell out and, say things. And what time does it start?
8 o'clock tomorrow
8 o'clock. And it's Bill. Who else?
I don't know who else is on the show. I just want to make sure I nailed Bill.
Oh, okay. You know? Yeah, that sounds like it'd be really fun. That's tomorrow night, Thursday night. Well, I might go by and watch that as a spectator.
Hey, if you want a spot, you know it's open to you.
I need to start hanging out there. It seems like everyone's hanging out there now.
Well, we went there last night. Last night was great. Yeah. We could definitely make that place do better. It's like you need a lot. You know, like the crowds are small. Like for the Sunset Strip, I mean, we packed the Ice House.
Yeah,
and that's well,
they
how
didn't know,
way the fuck
first
out
of all,
in Pasadena.
They didn't even know you were going to be on until 4 or 5 o'clock.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like we could have promoted that.
Yeah, Tiffany Haddish is always there, and she's one of the only people that went through that camp, that comedy camp, that's a comic.
Man, she was hot then.
Oh, that's hilarious, man. Well, it's a great club. Look,
if
the Laugh Factory is great. If we could somehow
know,
or another
Joe.
Sedate Jamie so he can't talk to us anymore, we've got to figure out a way.
We got to do my podcast with just me and
you. Yes, we do. Yeah, please. Yeah, let's do it. We'll do it next week. I'll do it next week. I got a couple days open next week. Next week's the End of the World Tour. Dilly Bit. It's only one day. It's not really a tour. It's the end of the world show with Mad Flavor, a.k.a. Planet Rock, a.k.a. Joey Diaz, and Doug Stanhope.
That's a great show.
Honey Honey Band.
We're going to have them on the podcast next Monday. Honey, yeah. Honey, I can't
Honey,
wait to
Honey
see
Band,
you.
They will be here or Ice House. Probably do it at Ice House. Yeah. Ice House. We'll do it at the Ice House because we got the good internet.
You ever do Tampa?
Yes, yes, I've done Tampa.
Did Bobby Jules?
I did the Improv. The Improv in Tampa.
Oh, okay. I did the Side Splitters.
My folks used to live out there. They used to live in Clearwater, where all the Scientologists are, by the way.
It's where the Phillies train. If it matters.
Maybe they're Scientologists, too. Maybe that's why they do so well.
I'm doing that Focus. Club in January with his Knoxville Club, which is funny because I can't draw a fucking person in Nashville, and Knoxville is sold out.
Nashville's tricky.
Why would I sell it in Knoxville?
I don't know, but Nashville is particularly tricky, apparently, for comedy.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah,
there's cities where it's tough. You know, it's hard to, you know, they don't have a comedy community, and it seems like that wouldn't really make sense. I mean, I guess it doesn't.
They're
if you're
so
like
hung up on music, you know, yeah. It's such a music town, I guess.
But I mean, if you're like a really big name,
but
act,
if you're a
you're
southern
really
act, they like you. They like the southern acts, and yeah, guys like Louis.
Well, who's like an example of a southern act? It's like Rodney Carrington,
like Jeff Foxworthy, and those guys,
Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy. Well, he crosses a lot of lines. Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, yeah, they love him up in Michigan.
Yeah, because he's so blue collar. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. He doesn't talk like that at all.
At all.
I love him.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, some people have gotten insulted because he doesn't talk like that. Are you leading me on, boy?
Yeah. Well, sir, I'm just here to make some money. Yeah, I met him at Montreal Comedy Festival way back in the day. Yeah, really nice guy, man.
Him and Tosh used to hang out at the West Palm Club. It was called Comedy Corner. That's where I got to know those two guys.
And do you know Josh Wolf?
I don't think
Josh Wolf is open for Larry the Cable Guy, and he was showing me photos of it, of being in a football arena.
Oh, my God.
It was like 50,000 people to see Larry.
And you know what's so funny? He was such a normal act as himself.
Yeah.
He wasn't bad, but he wasn't good. As Larry the Cable Guy, he hooked into something brilliant.
Yeah.
And he's great at it.
He's great.
He's so fucking silly.
Yeah, he found that character.
Remember this? Muscle Fitness with Joe Piscopo on it.
And, holy shit. Yeah. It looks like his head is implanted on a muscle man's body. It doesn't look real.
Yeah. Wow, he's in fucking killer shape back then.
Yeah.
He's probably roiding.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Piscopo. Look at that girl.
That's Johnny Dangerously.
The girl's like trying to take him down.
Yeah.
And he's holding onto her hand. What kind of a fucking... What is that statement? Why is she behind him? She should be holding him in front of him.
It looks like they photoshopped the cock out.
It's a weird thing. They probably did. Smoothed over his dick. Those were darker days. People didn't have as many cocks in their life as they have today. Anybody who's on the internet, it's my golden rule of the internet. If you have a photo on the internet somewhere, someone has photoshopped a dick in your mouth. Yeah. It's just a fact. There's no getting around that. I think that's better for everybody. I was watching this show that was talking. It was that, you ever watch that Morgan Freeman show, Through the Wormhole?
No.
He narrates it.
Yes. It's like a Discovery or one
science,
of those?
Yeah, it blows. It's mind-blowing. If you haven't DVR'd it, folks, it's a must-DVR, especially when if you're looking for something really freaky to watch at 2 o'clock in the morning. And they were talking about the fact that just by virtue of the laws of probability, I think that's what they were citing, that because of the fact that the universe may be infinite. And what that means is that, we have an idea that the universe is like 14 billion years old. And there's a lot of people, a lot of these physicists that actually think that instead of it being finite, like you can measure the distance of the internet, mm-hmm. that it might be infinite. And if it is infinite, I have no idea. I don't understand any of it. I don't understand how it could be 14 billion years old. I don't understand how it could have been born.
It looks great for 14 billion.
I don't understand how it could have not existed and then existed. I really don't understand it. But what I do know is that what this guy was saying was that if the universe is infinite, that means there's not just one, but several versions of you exactly out there. Just because of the laws of the fact that there's so many variables. Mm. They showed this giant pattern of rocks, like this huge pile of rocks, and they were showing that if you get there's like one blue rock, one white rock, one black rock, like in this order, right next to each other, in this massive pile of rocks, you're going to have this occur X amount of times. It's just inevitable. It just will occur. And he walks around and he picks it out. And then they were starting to talk about the distance of infinity and the idea of the infinite and the idea that if that is the case, there is so many possibilities that every, like, one, you know, X amount of trillion light years, there will be another Domirera exactly.
Well, I hope he lost weight. You know what I can't,
but just stopping.
You know what I can't fathom? 186,000 miles a second, I believe the speed of light is. And they say light years, and then they say a trillion light years. That's fucking unfathomable.
I think it was several trillion light years. It was like 100 trillion light years or something like that.
I can't. My mind can't process.
No, we can't.
That. 93 million miles is the sun. I can understand that. 93 million, I can deal with that.
Right.
You know, the Earth's 24,000 miles around, 93 million. All right, the sun. But fucking trillion light years?
Well, what's really fucked up
blow
is...
Blow me, universe.
Is that if the universe is infinite, when you get to 1 trillion light years, you're not even like 1/1,000,000% done.
A year of like
it never ends, right. So it doesn't matter. It's like it will go on literally forever.
So how could we get cocky?
I don't know. How could we
how
get
do people
cocky?
Get cocky?
I think you know what's helped people get cocky? Cities. I think lights. You know, like light pollution.
Did we
where
have
you don't see space.
Security. Yeah.
Yeah. I think those old cavemen people, like they had a great reverence to the sky.
Yeah.
Because, like, at nighttime, the shit was overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, you would have sun in the daytime, and then at nighttime, there had to be nights back when there was no pollution whatsoever, especially high-altitude people, where they must have just seen everything in the sky.
Oh, yeah, it would be lit up.
Everything. So the reverence that they must have had for their journey on this biological spaceship, this organic spaceship hurling through the galaxy, I mean, it must have been far greater than ours now. So, like, as we develop more and more technology that allows us to do more and more things that make us almost superhuman in our abilities as far as, like, our ability to send information, receive information, get questions answered, learn things, transmit data, photos, and videos, it's, like, unprecedented.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing has ever even been close to this before. And when you see that, like, it really makes you wonder. It really makes you wonder. It really makes you wonder if, like, while we're doing that, while we're blocking out all this sun with all this light and you got all this light pollution, and then we have all this actual pollution where we don't see the mountains, you know that weird feeling that you get in L.A. where you can't see the mountains? Then one day it rains.
And all of a sudden...
You see fucking mountains everywhere.
Yeah, you're coming down Sunset, right. There's a snow-capped mountain.
And you're like, wait a minute, what the fuck?
It's so trippy.
Who put that up?
But it's like, think about that. The areas where human beings are at their biggest, the areas where they're at their most overpopulated, that's you're also at your most disconnected from nature. You're most disconnected from the view of space because of the light pollution. You're most disconnected from the view of the mountains because of the pollution.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating because that sort of mindset comes out of the lack of reverence for nature, the moron mindset of the city. Like that's like the lack of respect for the fact that this thing is...
We don't even deal with nature.
It's crazy because it all happens in this big pile and it's easy to do. Like if you live in Manhattan and you take the subway to work and you fucking buy your food at this grocery store on the block and your apartment's
up
there.
Yeah.
Why bother? What do you give a fuck? The food's there. Right. You go, you pay, you go to your job, you get your money, you pay for your groceries. Why even pay attention to where it's being farmed? Why even pay attention to pesticides or genetically modified foods or who has to go to war to control what part of the world? Why give a fuck?
Yeah.
That's the weird sort of an arrogance that develops in some place where you don't, you're not connected to it. It's like we're developing things in these cities where we're escaping the connection of nature and like creating it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that have those indoor greenhouses and shit. There's something badass about it, but there's something crazy. Like why you got all this food in under lamps and stuff and like in a basement? You know, like that's I have a friend who would grow vegetables in his basement. Like, what's wrong with the dirt? Like, put your shit in the dirt. What are you doing?
Well, some of it is because they can't connect. They can't raise things in the winter. That kind of.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Nobody knows more about agriculture than me and you.
Cold climate. Yeah, I watch those Alaska shows where people are like preserving all their food and getting ready for the cold climate.
Yeah. How the fuck do people land there? How did those guys, the Eskimos and all, why would they,
the Eskimos?
Why would you stop there? The Inuit, whoever
the Inuit.
What are they called?
Inuit.
Oh, I'm the idiot.
Well, where it came from was the people that came down the Bering Strait, the same people that that populated North America before the Europeans. They walked.
Yeah, but wouldn't you stop? Wouldn't you keep walking until you got a little warmer?
Yeah, I would say so. But, you know, they might have found, like, a good chick that doesn't mind the cold, and they started fucking. They had some kids, and they couldn't move till the kid got older. And they said, listen, I know how to catch seal. Let's just stay here. Yeah, we got to make fires every night. But so what? We'll make a fire.
Yeah.
Figured out how to make igloos.
It's beautiful.
Well, there's a place in Siberia called the Taigao, and there's this guy. You ever see that documentary, Grizzly Man?
No.
You ever heard of Werner Herzog, the documentarian? He's got a bunch of really good documentaries. He's famous for his documentary. The most recent one was about the – did you see that one about the cave paintings? The cave paintings in France, the really ancient, incredible cave paintings.
Yeah.
But anyway, this Herzog guy, he's a really good documentarian, and he had this thing about people that live in Siberia. And it was like happy people, life on the taiga. And it's all about these people that just fucking trap and fish. And,
that's their still their culture?
Yeah, that's all they do. Wow. That's all they do. And they trap, and that pays for, like, chainsaws and shit like that. So they, you know, they're tools, they're essential tools.
Right.
And then from that, they just fish and trap and hunt all year. That is their entire existence. And apparently, it's like no mental problems. Everybody, like, people are fairly healthy.
Life is clear to them.
Yeah, life is clear, and they actually enjoy it. Like, they were all getting together, and they were talking about how what good fun hunting is.
What do you want to do tomorrow? Job. Let's go fishing.
That's all they did. They fished and they hunt.
It's a good idea.
And they have to store up a certain amount of meat. So from that show, I started getting obsessed with all these other Alaska shows. And this show Mountain Men, where this one dude's living in North Carolina, another dude's living in Montana, another dude was living in Alaska. But the guy living in Alaska is living the craziest fucking life. Because this guy is a trapper. And he flies on a little plane hours into the wilderness, hours, and then lands. And he has the same spot he lands every year. He's got this clearance that he's made, and he has a trail that he's made. And he is a trap trail. So he takes this trail with a snowmobile and leaves traps all along the way, and then comes back every day or every couple days, whatever, and collects the dead animals. And he stays up there for months. No people.
Unbelievable.
Just by himself in a fucking log cabin. It's crazy. Like, you're watching this guy's life and you go, whoa, that's where your fucking coat comes from? Like, that's a crazy lifestyle choice.
That's a crack you ever feel good. Well, stand-up comedy, it's got to be the hardest thing in the world. I'm thinking, look at his life.
I'm obsessed with these shows, man. I'm obsessed with the idea of subsistence living, living off the land, these people living off the land. It's amazing. And Alaska Last Frontier is the best one because they got really intelligent people. That's a new Discovery Channel show. They have these really smart fucking people. Like, you're hearing them talk, and, like, these are not uneducated people. They're smart people that have lived several generations up there in Alaska. Their family was escaping war-torn Europe, and so they moved to Alaska to be homesteaders. They got, like, this giant piece of land and started growing cattle out there. So crazy fucking reality that these people live. But again, they seem pretty fucking happy, man.
Have you been up there?
No, never been to Alaska. It's supposed to be amazing, though.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be it's real game-changing shit. Like, when you see, like, the wilderness up there.
Amazing that it's a state.
Yeah.
It's so far away.
They say eagles are everywhere there.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen, like, any of those videos of eagles, like, swarming, like, where the fishermen go?
I've never seen a swarm of eagles. I've
It's crazy. I'll pull up a video. I'll get...
Here, I'll do it so we don't destroy it.
Look for.
Should bring your 3G card while you.
Yeah, I have mine. I have it here. I should lock it in. But anyway, what are you going to Google? What's the exact term?
Swarm of eagles butthole.
Yeah, no, swarm of eagles salmon Alaska. They swarm. I mean, you can't believe it though. You're talking about like 30 or 40 bald eagles. They're sitting on this lawn. It's incredible. It's really one of those things that if you didn't see it on a video, you would think it'd be fake. But apparently people that go up there say that's really what they're like up there. There's a shitload of eagles. But you still can't kill them. If you kill them,
it's called a shitload.
No.
It's like a gaggle or a flock.
I don't think that was it, Brian. It was I'll Google it real quick. It's crazy to watch.
Swarm of eagles, Alaska.
Eagles is called a swarm?
Eagles on lawn. Let's see. Yeah, but eagles on lawn. How bad are you at Google, son? You just go eagles on lawn, first video, over 30 bald eagles in the backyard. It's these people, they just got back from fishing, and so they take these salmons and the salmon bodies, and they throw the body to the fish after they filleted it, and like they're feeding the eagles. It's fucking crazy, man. Where do you see all these fucking things?
Like, get that one up there on that roof. Let's go find some bald eagles.
Wow.
Look at this.
Like,
look at that. They have a whole yard, and all of the roof behind the yard.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16,
yo, if they swarmed on you, they could fuck you up.
Oh, so could seagulls.
Yeah, but for me, but eagles really could, man. Look at all of them. It's amazing. Those are bald eagles.
I never saw anything like that.
That's crazy.
Well, people in Alaska, man, you get to see shit like this. Yeah, you do live in a frozen wilderness, but you get to see shit like this. This is a trip.
No, they're not protected up in Alaska. Oh, yeah.
Yes, they are, man. They're protected everywhere. Yeah. But this is a part of your reality if you live up there. Look at this reality. Your reality is you're surrounded by bald eagles and mountains. And especially, like, right now in the summer, it must be awesome. The thing is, like, look at these kids walking up. Wow, I would not let my kid go near a fucking eagle.
Me neither.
I would have a shotgun trained on those punks. Because eagles have carried off babies before.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
One of these eagle, all these eagles could just take these children and eat
There's
them.
An old picture of an eagle trying to carry off a child. There's a video of eagles killing wolves.
Eagles, huh? Yeah, we
fed the... You gotta see that. Look at these fucking
That
eagles.
Kid has no idea how different his life is, huh?
Yeah. Well, they don't have any idea how weird it is to see a gang of eagles in your backyard.
That's crazy.
30 eagles.
I thought they were solitary animals. I didn't know they flew together.
I think there's so much salmon in Alaska that when the salmon is running, apparently they go bananas. And they just all get together and say, fuck it. Ari Shaffir did stand-up in Alaska and went salmon fishing, and he said it's the craziest thing he's ever done in his life. He said it was amazing. I shouldn't say it's the craziest thing he's ever done in his life, because that wouldn't be true. But he said it was amazing, and they would eat raw salmon right from the side of the boat. They would just slap the salmon down, cut it open, take chunks out of it, and just eat it.
That's correct.
He said it was delicious. He said it was like the greatest sushi you could ever eat in your life. You think that's gross, but yeah, you eat sushi.
Yeah, I know. Explain I just it. Don't like the faces.
Explain yourself, son.
I don't like faces.
Oh, the faces? Yeah. You don't like the being responsible for the death?
Yeah.
Have you ever killed a fish?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've gone fishing and all that shit, but...
You always feel bad?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah. Not me. Not fish. I don't really feel bad about fish at all. I mean, I don't want them to be tortured, but I would eat the shit out of them.
Dude, and
if you hook them in their mouth, you're already starting to torture.
Well, someone sounds like a vegan.
No, I'm just saying.
Mr. Herrera, like spokesperson for PETA for fish. People for ethical treatment of fish.
I don't like to think of it. Right? PETIF.
PETIF.
That's what cracks you up about people that only – they're pescatarians.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you know a fish doesn't have fucking bad feelings?
Someone said this to my wife. She said, fish don't raise their babies. I went, whoa.
She was Is that like, true? Even dolphins?
Dolphins aren't fish.
Oh, yeah, they're mammals.
But she said...
there's dolphins that are fish, too.
What?
There's dolphins that are fish and you're thinking dolphins that are mammals.
Mahi-mahi, actually. They call them dolphin fish. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's funny because I read that in a magazine once when I was just starting to fish, and I was like, what? People fish for dolphins? That's crazy. Yeah.
It's not the same dolphin.
But it's not. It's actually a fish, yeah.
It's not the flipper type dolphin.
No. Yeah, it's not really called dolphin very often. It's mostly called mahi-mahi.
Occasionally on a
You're
podcast.
You're crazy, man. You don't give a fuck, Tom Herrera.
Silly.
He's out on the edge. All right, Brian has got to get the fuck out of here. We got to send this,
boys, it was fun, I'll tell you.
Son of a bee all the way down to San Diego tonight. American Comedy Company, 8 o'clock show, folks. Tony Hinchcliffe, Sarah Tiana.
Jason Tebow, Billy Bonnell.
And what is the way they can save some money?
If you go to American Comedy Co. and to buy your tickets, if you use the coupon code end of days, I believe it is. Let me just double check. But end of days will give you 2-for-1 tickets.
That's what we're talking about, folks. We're talking about end of days. Yeah. So if it is all over, what do you want to do tonight? Do you want to stay home and watch TV or go out and get your fucking freak on? Okay?
Yeah.
Go out and get your freak on,
folks. It's going to be fun.
Should be fun. All right. We will be back Sunday at 4 in the afternoon, a very odd show with a very odd gentleman. That will be Dennis McKenna. And that's going to be really interesting. I'm very curious to talk to him. Yeah. It should be incredibly fascinating. If you don't know who he is, he's the brother of one of the most famous psychedelic adventurers of all time. Dennis McKenna is Terrence McKenna's brother. And Terrence McKenna is responsible for probably some of the most influential works on psychedelics ever, most influential points of view. And Dennis was with him through a lot of that stuff.
And he's got a book on it now. Some strange name to the book. Brotherhood of the Screaming Abyss or something like that.
Sweet Dolphin Kisses.
I don't think that's in there. Hold on. Let me Dennis McKenna book. I want to make sure I...
Dom Herrera on Twitter, and that's D-O-M-I-R-R-E-R-A.
At Dom Herrera.
Yeah, this is what's important, ladies and gentlemen. The two R's is first.
Yeah.
And please come and see me at Goodnight's. Let me pack the place on New Year's Eve. I'm happy to go back to North Carolina.
Yeah, that's a good club. Charlie Goodnight's. We did Raleigh recently. Raleigh's fun, man. Brotherhood of the Screaming Abyss. That's the book. If you want to read that book before the interview, it might be interesting to give you a little perspective if you're down with it. But Dennis is a brilliant, brilliant guy. And he's an, I don't even know how to say this, ethnopharmacologist and an author and a well-known psychedelics proponent. Should be fascinating. He's a brother to well-known psychedelics proponent. I don't know if he's a proponent himself. He's probably a bit hedgy. He's a scientific man, a brilliant gentleman.
He just comes in. I'm just a gamer, Joe. Not sure why you want me to come here.
Whoops, wrong guy. Next week, after Dennis, which is on Sunday, Monday we got Honey Honey. Mm-hmm. And someone Tuesday. I forget. Well, we'll figure it out. All right, you dirty fucks. Listen, you guys have been fantastic. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Onnit.com. Yeah, them too. Yeah. Thanks to Bladeslinger.
Yeah, it's a great game. It's from Kerosene Games. It's available on the iTunes store.
It's only $2.99, and Kerosene Games, which is our... Yeah, how do you go wrong there, son?
You're losing money by not buying.
Yeah, it's they're the latest sponsor of this podcast, and Kerosene Games are committed to making all of their games originally for iPad and iPhones, and now they're in the middle of developing it for the high-end Android devices. That'll be January and February. But it's a cool game. It's great graphics. It's, again, designed for the iPad. It's not ported over there. Designed for it, and it's only $2.99, and they're supporting the podcast. So go check that shit out. Throw $3 away. Oh, yeah. Pick yourself up a dope-ass game. If you're into some entertaining time killing. And next Tuesday, the 18th, I am releasing my stand-up comedy special. And that will be live on joerogan.net. And borrowing from the great Louis C.K., it will be $5. It'll be the same thing. You'll be able to download it a bunch of times.
That's a great idea, man.
Yeah. So please don't steal it. I paid a lot of money to make it. But other than that, thanks. Thanks for everybody. And thanks for everybody to be here for you, my friends.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all on Sunday right here from the middle of nowhere, which is the bottom of everywhere.
I know exactly where this is.
Which is the top of the beyond. The middle of the infinity, Dom Herrera.
See you at the
there is factory. No tomorrow, Rocky.
You coming back to do Busting Balls with Dom Herrera?
I will come back to hang out with you, Dom Herrera. Wherever we shall go, together we shall be. Tuesday nights,
Rogan.
Dom Herrera is almost always at the Laugh Factory.
So the night's going to switch, but it's Thursday night for this week.
This week, Thursday night.
Busting Balls with Dom Herrera.
It'll switch. Bill Thursday's Burrow. A great night. That's a good night out. That's
probably
for pros.
Do Wednesday or Thursday.
A lot of pros like to go out on Thursdays.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get some fun times on Thursdays. All right, you dirty fucks.
Thanks, man.
Follow Red Band on Twitter, REDBAN. You go to higher-primate.com and check out my t-shirts. It's my psychedelic monkey t-shirts. I don't know how many of them are still available. We sold a shitload of them. I underestimate how many people are buying them, but we're getting all new ones in, and we're going to be affiliated with Onnit now, so we'll have our distribution far easier.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm not much of a businessman, folks. All right, you fucks. We got a lot of good shit coming up, and thanks for being here through all this. We appreciate the shit out of you, and we love you long time. All right, bye. See you later.
Yeah.